much about.
Just testing this out. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. All right, I'm done.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm gonna take care of them, dude. All right, so I'm gonna send you to go make a fake drug deal. All right, I want you to take care of this for me, man. All right, yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty. All right, just take care of this for me, dude. All right, everything's gonna be okay. All right, say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man, everything's gonna go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man, I gotta go. Later.
Stupid Omar. So stupid. 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 Stupid Omar. What kind of last name is Khan? Go back to the China or Russia or friggin' Luxembourg, wherever you're from. Stupid Omar.
And now,
Omar Khan hasn't given you one straight answer. I'm turning him over to the CIA, and they'll do what it takes to get him to talk.
Our feature presentation.
That is what we have found is the best idea.
Did that guy think he was from Luxembourg?
Is that what he said? I'm guessing he was being funny, but
that's Khan is a very common last name in Luxembourg, Lisa. Everybody knows that, and China too, for that matter.
Of course. Yeah.
That was a little tribute to Omar. I was thinking about yesterday. It's been a long time since I've enjoyed the original of Cucamonga Heat. And it really is, you know, years go by, but it holds up. It's still as classic as the day it was first released as his college film.
I think it's one of those you see once a year. You just do that. You put that on your list.
Apocalypse it's like It's a Wonderful Life. You just, you realize every year how great it is.
Cucamonga Heat.
It's not that long, which is good.
Right.
That's helpful. I mean, it pretty much flies by. Mm-hmm. And the special effects are amazing, and the sound effects are amazing.
Yep. Acting is brilliant.
Almost too good, those special effects.
You think?
Like, it makes you uncomfortable.
Because it's so realistic?
The car chase scene, yeah. You get goosebumps.
And that shootout thingy? Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
A little graphic for my taste.
Doesn't the guy get shot like 30 times before he falls down?
Yeah. At point blank range.
Right.
In the head. Boom, 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 boom. He's still sitting there.
And the other problem is that, you know, that was Omar before he became a big star, when he still had that youthful exuberance and innocence. I don't think even he could be as great in that role as he was then. I mean, if he tried to duplicate it now, there's no way he'd be able to find the beast within like he did when he was filming the original.
That was once in a lifetime, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that took a lot out of him, too. You know, that role really, it changed him.
He tapped emotions. Yeah. He doesn't want to go there again.
He doesn't want to go there again.
Yeah. It's too painful.
I totally get that.
We're going to take your phone calls in a second. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. I've been thinking for a long time, it might be time to start some kind of a contest for college films. Because a lot of people make them now.
Oh,
or even
yeah.
high school, you know, because now it's so easy to make and put up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be willing to bet it would be a long time and a lot of entries before we found a movie that's worse than Cucamonga Heat.
I mean, better.
I think we could hold that up and go, beat this. And I don't think anyone could.
That's a great idea.
I just don't think they would even have a shot.
There are so many of those little film contests now, thanks to the internet.
Are there? Yeah.
So many that I would be terrified to do a contest like that because we would have so many entries and nobody would want to watch them all because so many of them would be so bad.
Let's remember, in real life, Cucamonga Heat crushed. It was by far the best in its class. Omar said that he got an A and everybody else in the class was like, wow, how'd you do such a good video?
Yeah, I don't believe that.
So, I mean, put
that in perspective. Are you making
that up? No, I'm being serious. Omar can correct me if I'm wrong. He was the best in that class, so think about all the other videos must be infinitely worse.
Omar just said in my headphones, he's way right. I served everybody else.
Really?
Let's hear it again if you don't mind.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of some for me, man. Yeah, I got these guys. I want you to double cross for me. They did me some wrong in the past, so yeah, I'm going to take care of them, dude. All right? So I'm going to send you to go make a fake drug deal, all right? I want you to take care of this for me, man, all right? Yeah, you'll get paid. You'll get paid plenty, all right? Just take care of this for me, dude, all right? Everything's going to be okay, all right? Say hi to the family for me, okay? Yeah, man. Everything's going to go down smoothly, dude. Double cross. All right, man. I got to go. Later.
Was there a script or was he ad-libbing that?
Well, you tell me.
When he's so good, it's hard to tell. He's so realistic.
Yeah, I think that's the goal of all actors is to make it seem like they're not acting.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Just coming up with that off the top of their head, right?
Sure.
I'm looking it up on the internet, by the way. Cucamonga Heat apparently went to the Cannes Film Festival.
Is that right?
In 95 and won the Palme de Poupe Award, which I didn't even know they had an award
I've never heard of that.
Apparently won the Palme de Poupe, so congratulations. All right, we're going to get to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's the Thursday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do, Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Yeah, Eric.
So you call us, get on the air. We hook you up this time with a pair of tickets to Ski Dazzle, the Los Angeles Ski Show and Snowboard Expo at the Convention Center is happening October 29th. Hey, that's today.
That would be today. It is today.
Through November the 1st, which is Sunday. And the quasi-winter weather arrived right on schedule for Ski Dazzle this year, so people will definitely be thinking about winter.
It sure is. Windy and 60. Tell you that.
Yep.
Burr.
All right.
Pretty brutal.
1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey, what did it, nephew?
What did it do?
What did it do?
Hi. Hey, I wanted to call about this show about five people that have Down syndrome on the internet. It's called The Specials. Have you guys heard about it?
No. Tell me more.
Is it an internet reality show?
Yeah, it's called The Specials-com. And the one episode I want to talk about is episode 3. It's called Lewis and Megan Go Out on a Date, and Sam falls in love with the lady boys of Bangkok.
I love it so much.
Doesn't believe that they're actually boys until he sees the one guy do a striptease of doing it my way. And
the
then
proof.
Even at the end, he still has he still doesn't believe that they're boys. I mean, it's hilarious.
Wow.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know much about what goes on in the mind of a Down syndrome person, but it would be hard to wrap your head around it looks like a girl, but it's a boy.
Oh, yeah. You can see his face break. I mean, it's horrible.
That's hard for us to do every once in a while.
Yeah.
You look at it and you go, I can't get my head around that right there. What is that?
Yeah. No.
What's the, give us the site name again.
It's The Specials, but there's a hyphen in between, .com. So the-specials.com.
All right.
That sounds like the best thing ever.
Okay.
It's a great tip. Thank you, Josh.
Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Hey, Bean, you sound much more swine flu-ish today than you did yesterday.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't know. You sound
congested.
Congested?
I'm not feeling great. I'm not feeling great, I'll tell you that. I didn't know what to do yesterday. I took it easy, which is tough for me, you know, because I'm generally a million-mile-an-hour guy.
You are go.
Going everywhere, doing everything.
Sure.
And I was on the emergency all day long yesterday and taking the Advil and stuff like that. But I do feel flushed, I'll tell you that. I feel fevery. And it was weird. Last night, I had a sore throat a little bit, but worse than that, I felt like I had the thing where your glands swell up in your throat. You know what that's like?
Lisa does.
No good. I'm telling
Not
you. But I'm powering through.
Pete was at a movie theater where a guy was coughing Black Death all over everybody. Mm. And so now he's convinced he has it. And I got to say, you said many times you wanted it, didn't you?
Well, I think the swine flu sounds awesome. I mean, it's very hip right now, very happening, and the cool people are all getting it. And I feel like I'm, you know, kind of left out a little bit because I'm never exposed to people, so therefore I'm rarely exposed to infectious diseases. So
right.
I think I may have hit jackpot going to that movie theater the other day. But it's coming on. I didn't know it was going to hurt, though. I thought it was just going to be fun.
No, it feels good, yeah. No, that's usually what is true of the flu is that it's fun.
I was looking at it as just 10 days off. That's what I was hoping for. I didn't realize it would be 10 days off of feeling crappy.
Right. Well, there's no way to tell that, but until you actually go through it.
I'm still fighting it. But I have such a powerful immune system, thanks to my diet, that I'm likely to be able to fend it off.
And your exercise regimen.
It would be extremely difficult for me to get sick.
That's true.
The flu could try, but I could probably beat it back. Wow, I'm on thespecials.com. It does look awesome.
All right. Fantastic.
It does look great.
We found a new reality show.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We have Petros Papadakis in.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to talk sports, World Series, college football, NBA, NHL, a lot going on. Very excited.
Dominating performance last night in the World Series. One of the great pitching performances in the history of the Fall Classic last night.
I couldn't believe when Billy got up and hit that home run.
How often is there a complete game pitched in the World Series? You know, usually you're playing a team like the Yankees in October. It's pretty tough to shut them down. But, I mean, he had a shutout going into the ninth inning. The only reason he gave up one run is because of a throwing error. But Cliff Lee, an unbelievable performance last night. The Phillies won the game.
Oh, did they? All right. So that's 1-0?
One nothing.
All right.
Cool.
I got to give it to baseball just for one thing, and that is that they do have a season that's 2.5 years long. But when they get to the playoffs, they really pare it down quickly. You know, NBA, NHL, stuff like that. Pretty much everyone gets in, and right. then they, you know, have 7-game series for about 2 months, which I enjoy. But also on today's show, Ralph's going to bring in a list of actors who should not try to sing, especially action star actors.
It does seem like, and this happens a lot, if people are successful in one area, they think they can do something else. I sing, therefore I can act. Yeah. I act, therefore I can sing. I play football, therefore I can rap. I mean, it's, you know, everybody gets that that mindset that they can do everything because they can do one thing, and sometimes maybe it's not a good choice.
So, most of the time, it's not a good choice. Also on the show today, we have Dominic Monaghan from Flash Forward, which is a great new show.
Yeah.
Now, how many episodes are we in with this? Is it six?
I think the fifth one.
Fifth one. Okay.
Was this week? I think.
Oh, that's going to be so good. I love it. Jason Mayhem Miller in the studio today, talking about CBS Strike Force, and he's back in the ring fighting. We also are going to give you some more details on that dude who got a DUI on a Lazy Boy chair car.
I love that.
He souped up a Lazy Boy and put headlights on it and a steering wheel, and just really, he's driving it, and he hit a parked car, so that wasn't good. But
nice.
And you have to figure out how you can buy it, right? I mean, if the police are auctioning it off, you need to try to buy it.
They are. They're auctioning it off, and I have to have it. Yesterday, we took ghost stories later in the show, and we're going to try to get in the 6 o'clock hour. We're going to try to get in early.
Okay.
It's hard. It's so easy to be skeptical because most of this stuff never comes with proof. So people go, oh, I heard a noise. And you go, well, that's not really a ghost story. But we want real ghost stories. Okay. And we've got a couple of examples for you, and we'll take your calls in the 6 o'clock hour. And Sean Connery, I believe, is going to join us today as well, talking about Daniel Craig's Broadway play.
Excellent.
He's generally very magnanimous about other actors who have played James Bond, so I'm looking forward to hearing the compliments that he pays Mr. Craig.
That is going to be good, yeah. So we'll do all that. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes till 6.
Want to thank Kevin B. Lister Bob, who just emailed during that Pearl Jam number, said, hey, guys, I really am enjoying the new Neil Diamond song you're playing. Thanks for putting that on, Bob. So there you go.
Yeah, that's good.
Ralph Garman joins us on a, well, it's Thursday already. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat for the first time today. What's going on, Ralph?
Would you believe people are still talking about Anna Nicole Smith?
No.
No.
People are still talking about Anna Nicole Smith.
But they are,
well, there's,
really?
There's some trial or something going on, isn't there?
There's an investigation. California Medical Board about her doctors and whether they are criminally accountable for the prescriptions that they provided for her.
Is Anna Nicole Smith still dead, Wolf?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, she is. The trash bags of prescription medications they provided for her in the last days of her life. And it turns out that Dr. Sandeep Kapoor...
Hey!
I had that the other day at this restaurant.
Did you?
Sandeep Kapoor. Oh, if you get it.
Oh, with the plum sauce?
Get it with the plum sauce, absolutely.
Oh,
and
the best.
Get it on the side, because sometimes it can weigh a little heavy, but it's really outstanding. He apparently was a doctor who treated Anna Nicole. He had a diary.
Oh, no.
Big mistake.
What good could come of that?
An entry in that diary was read yesterday at this medical board hearing, and it read, I was making out with Anna, my patient.
What?
Blurring the lines. I gave her methadone, Valium. Can she ruin me? He wrote in the diary.
What?
How stupid is this guy?
He's stupid. This comes on the fact, on the heels, rather, of the fact that her psychiatrist, Anna Nicole Smith's psychiatrist, Christine Aroshevich, also had inappropriate sexual contact with her patient. There's photos of the two of them making out.
All right.
So she provided... prescription medication to Anna as well. So apparently all Anna's doctors were banging her and then giving her drugs.
How about that?
She's a goer.
So not anymore. She isn't.
Was a goer.
Yeah. So we'll be following that story. Shakira says that she has no plans to get married because she feels she is too much of a diehard feminist to tie the knot.
Oh, I like her new video. Woof.
Woof. She's hot. She says, though, that she has babies on the brain. She says her body... She feels like her body is telling her she's ready to reproduce.
Yeah, I know. You're a feminist, and I think that's adorable. But this is grown-up time, and I'm the man.
Shakira apparently is especially getting messages from her hips.
Really?
Now, they don't lie, you know, by the way.
They're telling the truth.
They always tell the truth, her hips. So she's ready to have babies. All right. Get on over here, you little midget.
You insist.
Let's make some babies. Speaking of sex, I hope you're not eating breakfast.
Uh-oh.
Rosie O'Donnell said this week in an interview that Angelina Jolie hit on her.
Oh, please.
What? You don't know, Kevin. You don't know what it's like
being a
sex symbol like Rosie O'Donnell.
If you're going to lie, you got to go a little smaller.
Rosie says Angelina slipped her phone number back in the day.
Sure.
They talked on the phone a few times and discussed going out on a date, but it just never happened, Rosie says.
Yes, that happened.
Rosie admits she was fearful of Angelina Jolie because she says she's scary in a sexual way.
You liar!
But they probably would have gone out and had hot sex.
Sure.
Because Rosie's just so irresistible.
No, no. Same interview, she claims that Petra Nemkova wanted her as well, by the way.
Are you kidding me?
Not joking. Not kidding.
That is absolutely not true.
Me too, by the way, Petra Nemkova.
She had to be joking.
No.
Now that I hear both of them, there's no way she was serious.
Well.
Wow.
She's serious. Forbes magazine has released its list of the top earning dead celebrities.
Here we go.
Congratulations to Michael Jackson, by the way, making the list for the first time this year. He's finally earned enough to get on there. Oh, wait a minute. That means he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the top 10. Michael Crichton, man who gave us Jurassic Park and ER on television, author and producer. He is the number 10th on the list. He made $9 million this year.
Wow.
Albert Einstein, we talk about this every year. His name, of course, synonymous now with the Baby Einstein educational videos and whatnot. Sure. $10 million this year made him number 9 on the list. Dr. Seuss was 8th with $15 million. John Lennon made $16 million, made him number 7 on the list. Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, $35 million this year.
Are you kidding?
$35 million. From what? From what? From a strip that was not funny once.
It really wasn't. That's not an exaggeration. It was not funny once.
Not once.
That's true.
Hey, Charlie Brown, what'd you get from your trick-or-treating? I got a rock. F you! Dead Charles Schulz making all that money?
Dead Charles Schulz made more than we'll ever make.
No. You guys don't even enjoy It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and the Charlie Brown Christmas
special. That's what
special.
I was just quoting.
No.
Hey, what'd you get from trick-or-treating, Charlie Brown? I got a rock. Is that supposed to be funny to someone?
Yes. It is funny because it's how sad Charlie Brown's life is that everything goes wrong for him. The boy can't catch a break. That's all.
Well, I think
you're right,
we understand
that is hilarious.
It. I mean, I think that Ralph and I are coming from a point of getting the storyline and the characters.
Looking for the humor or entertainment in that.
Not funny.
I'm still surprised he's making that much. I mean, I know the strip's still syndicated around the world in newspapers, and there's got to be a lot of merchandise that he sells too, but still $35 million. That's heavy-duty bucks.
Fifth on the list was J.R.R. Tolkien, $50 million he made this year.
Wow.
Elvis Presley made $55 million this year. It wasn't even like a big Elvis year. I remember seeing like a new Elvis box set or anything.
$55 million.
That's just business as usual for the Elvis empire. $55 million this year.
Wow.
Michael Jackson was third. That's pretty good to debut third on the list, by
Not
the
bad.
Way. Good for you, Michael. Congratulations. $90 million in just the 4 months since his death.
Wow.
90 mil.
He should have died sooner.
He could really. Used that money.
That would have been so good for his career if he had died sooner. Rodgers and Hammerstein, the Broadway composers, are second on the list. Made $235 million this year.
What?
Yeah. A bunch of their musicals have been reworked and put up on the stage. And
that's unbelievable.
That is crazy.
His heirs are very happy this year with $235 million. And number one on the list, which I think is kind of bogus, supposed to be celebrities. I guess this person is sort of a celebrity. But designer Yves Saint Laurent made $350 million this year.
I don't even know what to say about that. I don't know that world. That's a lot, right?
People like clothing.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say about that. Falling off the list this year, by the way, I thought was interesting. Marilyn Monroe, not on the list.
Oh, interesting.
James Dean, Steve McQueen, and Heath Ledger, not on the list this year. So
he should do another movie.
It's tough being a dead pimp in the street.
What?
And Heidi Montag has announced she is adding to her empire. Of course, you know she's already a reality show star. She's a brilliant singer and dancer. I've seen her perform at the largest television event in history. I remember
right.
she was
Billions
That's what she told us, yeah.
She is a fashion designer.
Mm. Sure.
She is a model.
Sure.
She's an actress.
She does it all.
Now she is working on her own fragrance that she will market on the Home Shopping Network. You now can smell like Heidi Montag. Early word is the fragrance has hints of baby powder, Thompson water seal, and sashimi.
Wow.
Yeah. That's an interesting smell. Interesting.
They've identified those
not
three.
Not a very nice show.
Yeah, screw you.
They've identified those specifically.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's an interesting combo.
That's great.
I'm not sure what that has to do with Heidi, but.
And a little essence of like Spencer that. As yeah. well.
Oh, stop it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Winona Ryder is 38 years old today.
Belle? No Belle.
Yeah, Belle.
Yeah,
Belle.
Definitely. Winona is still
just,
Belle.
Just checking.
Yeah, I think so.
Randy Jackson of the Jacksons. Ooh. Not the American Idol Randy Jackson, but the Jacksons Jackson Randy
the
Jackson.
The non-famous Randy Jackson.
Right. He is 48 years old today. Dan Castellaneta, the voice of Homer Simpson on The Simpsons. 52 years old today. One of the sweetest jobs in television, that man's
No
been.
Kidding.
And actor Richard Dreyfuss, Oscar winner. Probably best known for, what would you say, Jaws, I guess? Close
probably,
Encounter?
Yeah, I think
Close
so.
Encounter of the Third Kind?
Yeah, those are probably the two biggest.
Done
yeah.
a lot of smash movies in his career. 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That sounds like it's skipping to me.
It does.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to be taking your ghost stories. We got a tremendous amount of listener email yesterday after the stories that we had time for on the air at the end of the pro. We got, at the end of the show yesterday, we've got your ghost stories coming up in about 15 minutes or so if you want to call us at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, Kevin, our old friend Sean Connery has been all over the news this week. For a guy who's like 80 and retired,
yeah.
it sure seems like he makes the headlines a lot. So we asked producer Alex to line him up for us, and we have the former 007 on the phone with us right now. Hey, Sean.
Well, if it isn't Balloon Boy in the douchebag.
Can I be
How
Balloon
been?
Boy?
you have no other choice, believe me.
What's going on, Mr. Connery? How you been, sir?
You called me. You tell
yeah.
me what's going on.
Well, it's
Why are you wasting my time?
It's just small talk at the beginning of a conversation. How you doing? Fine, that's all.
That's bullshit.
Okay, all right.
Maybe
well,
you've
all right.
got time to f*** away, but I don't. I'm a busy man.
We have a lot of it.
Why did
all
you
right.
call me?
All right. We apologize. I'll be completely honest with you. We were talking about the runaway Broadway success of Daniel Craig, who, of course, is the current James Bond, 007, a role that you inhabited so well back
yes.
in the day.
Yes.
He's on Broadway with Hugh Jackman. They're doing a play called A Steady Rain. It's just getting blockbuster reviews and selling out every night. We just wondered if you had a chance to go see it yourself.
I haven't seen it yet, but I intend to. I've heard it's great.
Oh, you're going to see it. Okay.
And I heard Daniel Craig is great in it. Yeah. Although originally, I believe the title was A Steady Rain of My from a group
oh.
of guys me.
Oh, no.
oh, why would you say that?
I think they had to cut it down.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I haven't seen the play. Lisa has, but I don't think it's a gay-themed play. I don't
Not
think there's anything
all.
Gay about it.
Well, I haven't seen it either, but I understand he plays a Chicago policeman who does squat thrusts on fire hydrants until his like a yawning hippo.
No, no, that's
Wait,
not the case
Lisa,
at all.
Do you remember that happening?
I don't.
Not at all.
That does not ring a bell.
And
I
then
have to
his
say.
Partner needs to spackle shut his so that his doesn't just fall out all over the place.
Okay, gosh. That's a different play altogether. Look, what is your problem with Daniel Craig? People love him as James Bond. His last two 007 films have been huge hits, and people think he's really good in this Broadway show as well.
Yes, Daniel Craig is, first of all, a big...
Okay. All right.
In fact, this isn't his first time on Broadway, you know.
It isn't?
I saw him years ago on Broadway in a back alley pub.
Wow.
This is his first time in a theater on Broadway,
I
but
see.
He's been on the street before.
Sure.
For beer money.
Oh, wow. Wow. Now, Ralph did a story earlier today, our showbiz guy Ralph. You remember him, right, Mr. Connery?
Nope.
Okay. He did a report earlier today about the guys on the Broadway show auctioning off their shirts for charity to fight AIDS. I guess they sold the
well,
shirts that they
yes.
wore.
I guess that would be something Daniel would be concerned about.
They were just trying to raise some money for a great charity, and people paid $4,000 each for the shirts off their back that they wore in the show.
Really? $4,000?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. Four yeah.
Well, I imagine what I could sell some of my old stuff for. You know, being the Bond that doesn't...
Okay.
Maybe my clothing
right.
I could be auctioned off for a good cause.
Okay.
Like teaching Daniel Craig to shut his
Wow.
Okay. You're starting to sound like
charity.
Wow.
The foundation for Daniel Craig to stop.
Wow. You seem angry,
my
Sean.
Well, I'm not angry. Oh, you're not. My fine.
Okay.
He should be angry. He's the one with giant there all the time.
Okay. I don't think that's true, but
he can yodel out of his. Did you know that?
I don't think he can. I don't think that's true at all. I think you're just making stuff up because he's 007 now and you're not. That's what it
sometimes
sounds like anyway.
You can hear his say, Ricola! And then a mint drops out.
Okay. All right,
because
John.
Somebody
that's
left it in there the night before.
Right, I think we get
that's
it.
That's
probably
fine. All right. All right, we have to go, Sean. Thank you very much.
You.
It is Thursday morning, by the way. That means Melfon tomorrow because it's the last Friday of Rocktober. But that also means, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday is Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween. Ghostly things are going to happen.
Every year about this time.
Do we have any super annoying songs about Halloween that we could play?
As a matter of fact.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
You should just be so happy that we finally killed the Monster Mash, Kevin. That was a staple for decades, remember?
That's true. But the Climate Mash, that's the one I like.
We were talking about ghost stories yesterday, because that's what you do this time of year. And our friend Russ Leatherman, who of course became famous as Mr. Movie Phone, press 1 for Paranormal Activity, that guy, and now runs 6-second movie reviews. He came on the show yesterday to tell us a story that I thought was fairly convincing. I mean, look, I feel the way about ghosts the same way I do about God, which is that I won't say I don't believe. I will just say I don't know. I'm agnostic on the topic because, yeah, there may be other explanations that could cause the things that people interpret as ghosts, but they seem about as likely as there being a real ghost. You know what I mean?
The problem is most ghost stories, you can go, well, that was just something making noise. I mean, it's kind of easy to get in and go, well, that could, you know, it's all into interpretation.
Sure, of course.
But this story, this is Russ Leatherman, and he's telling us the story about his stepfather passing away and what happened.
So we're sitting around, we're having some wine in the living room. Adjacent to the living room is the garage, and my stepdad was like an avid woodworker. He used to make chairs, and he used to make, you know, all sorts of wood things. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting in the living room, having some wine, talking about him. We hear the table saw in the garage go off.
All right.
So I decide to go in the garage, which, again, adjacent to the living room, clear sound, no mistaking it for anything else. I go in the garage, I see the table saw. It's not going. Right?
Right.
It stopped. But I want to see what the deal is. So I put my hand on the motor just to see if it was running. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Put my hand on the motor. It was running. The motor is hot.
Okay.
Okay? I look at the power outlet. The saw is unplugged.
What?
The saw is unplugged.
Hey, that's creepy.
Dude. Wow.
Unfrickin' plugged.
It was unfrickin' plugged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that is
more
way
than unplugged. So Ralph Garman, being the skeptic that he is, jumps in on the mic yesterday or after the conversation with Mr. Movie Phone and says, well, yeah, but maybe the vibration, it was plugged in and then it started somehow and then the vibration unplugged it. Now, it seems, I mean, that's the type of thing that if you have to come up with an explanation, sure, something like that is possible.
Yeah, and I would buy that too. I mean,
But why would a saw start itself 4 days later after being sitting there half plugged in, half plugged out for that a length of time and then start itself during the guy's wake? I mean, that seems also unlikely, right?
Yes.
Very unlikely.
But, I mean, both of the options that we're thinking about are unlikely.
Yeah.
But something had to have caused it, so you got to
something
go.
Caused
so
it.
So then
yeah.
It comes down to, do you believe in ghosts, or do you think it had to be a coincidence, which, you know, a lot of people do.
Sure. Yeah. So we thought we'd take your calls. If you've got something that you've been thinking about it for all these years and you can come up with no other explanation, but then it has to have been a spirit from the other side. That's what we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I'm terrified that Psycho Mike seems to now be on the mic.
Absolutely. He's got a good story.
Well, when my grandmother passed away, we went up to Portland area where she lives to be with my grandfather and to prepare for the burial. And the very first night we got there, we all went out to dinner, my family, my parents, and my sister, and my brother-in-law, and my grandfather.
Hang on 1 second.
Okay, sorry.
All right, go ahead.
We all went out to dinner, and my grandfather was very, very distraught. And he said, well, you know, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable because Grandma visited me last night. And she comforted me, and she wanted to tell me that she's very excited about the new addition to the family. And He looks directly at my sister and my brother-in-law, who are now turning white because she is pregnant, but they have not told anybody.
Okay, wait.
Whoa.
So dead grandma visited
like that.
Visited dead grandpa.
Uh-huh.
The night before that.
Yeah, she died. She had died two nights prior, and the night before we got there, she visited him. According to him, visited him.
And which a lot of people experience.
Yeah.
After someone dies.
But you never know if it's a dream or if it's, you know, imagination.
Right.
But my grandfather is the most no-nonsense, like the least spiritual. He's a grizzled, hardened, old World War II era veteran. And he looked at my sister without a sense of comedy or joking. And he said, and by the way, we're very excited about the new edition, Tracy. And my sister and my brother-in-law just looked so shocked.
Wait, your grandpa loved New Edition?
That's weird. That's I wasn't expecting that at all.
That my sister and my brother-in-law had told nobody.
Are you positive about that? You asked them specifically. You've told no one.
Oh, yeah. They were waiting till we got back to Los Angeles from the funeral to break the news.
There were no signs? She didn't have morning sickness?
Oh, no. She was very new to pregnancy. She wasn't showing or anything like that.
That's weird.
That is weird. I will tell you, though, that I think a lot of people feel like they are visited after somebody dies because their minds are a mess, because they're emotional wrecks at that point. And they're seeing and hearing and thinking and imagining all sorts of things because of the problem of processing, hey, this person isn't there anymore.
Yes, I had that same feeling after my dad died, but he didn't give me new information.
Yeah, new information
that
is a nice wrinkle.
That changes everything.
Yeah, that is interesting.
That was pretty strong, and I'm a skeptic. That was pretty strong.
Yeah. So what do you think it was, Michael? Do you think it was exactly what your grandfather does, which is that she really did visit and really did tell him that?
That's certainly an option, but I believe more, like Lisa said, you're super sensitive at points of crisis.
Right.
And maybe he was just more receptive to other people's emotional changes and stuff like that. I don't know. I mean,
that he sort of could tell, but
yeah, because of his vulnerable state, he was more receptive.
Your grandmother visited him the night before.
I don't know. I can't say that.
Of course,
but
not.
I am a skeptic. I don't know. I don't really believe in people visiting and stuff like that.
One more question, then we'll go to Michelle's call on line one, and that is: was he more of a Cool It Now guy, or did he love Mr. Telephone Man?
Mr. Telephone Man was his big hit.
That was the song. All right, Michelle, thank you so much for holding on. What's your ghost story?
Okay, this happened when I was a kid. I was 10 years old and my grandmother died. And about a month after she passed away, my sister and I were the only ones in her house.
Hang on one second. I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. My sister and I were the only ones home in the house. And my sister was downstairs playing. I was upstairs in the kitchen and I tapped me on the shoulder.
What tapped you on the shoulder?
Something. I turn around and there's my grandmother standing there in the dress we buried her in the previous month.
Was she pissed?
No, she wasn't pissed.
Why did she bury me? She have dirt under her fingernails?
I feel pretty good.
No, she looked just like she looked the day we buried her.
Right, let me ask you another question. Did she look like a human being that was there, or did she look like a ghost that you could see through that you see on TV all the time?
No, she looked like a human being, like she was alive and standing right in front of me.
Did you touch her in any way? Shake her hand, put your arms around her?
No, I freaked out. I ran downstairs, grabbed my little sister, and went outside. And from that point on, for the rest of my life, I never was alone in my grandmother's house.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That would be creepy.
Even at 10, you knew if somebody's dead, they shouldn't be standing in the living room.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Your grandmother probably went to all the other dead people and went, it's not worth it. She doesn't believe. She ran from the house.
So there's no other possible explanation in your mind that 100% was a ghost.
Yeah, my sister and I were the only ones in the house, and my sister was downstairs. I was the only one upstairs.
Yeah, that's pretty, I mean, that's, if you saw that, that's pretty hard to explain away. I appreciate the call, Michelle. Thank you.
Thanks.
One last question, and this is just standard issue question. Do you drink?
No, I don't.
Okay, just check.
She was 10.
Yeah.
Hey.
Not back then.
Listen, I've talked to Dr. Drew. All right.
Exactly.
Thank you, Michelle.
Bye now. Hey, Kevin and me, about 3 years ago, we were living in our house. I had the same experience as the first caller on yesterday's show. I was laying in my bed awake, and all of a sudden, I felt a huge, immense weight laying on top of me. I was unable to open my eyes or scream for help to my family in the next room. I couldn't move for about 2 minutes until I stopped. I was 18 years old at the time. I was completely sober and completely drug-free, Ashley. Just felt like she was completely pinned down on the bed. Now, that's my kind of ghost. 18-year-old Ashley.
But also she
that's
didn't...
what you'll be doing when you're dead.
See, this is the kind of story where you go, okay, something weird happened, but that to me sounds like it's a leap of faith to go, it must have been a ghost.
You know what I mean? A lot of people do have that feeling.
If whatever, for whatever reason.
Pinning them down in bed.
She didn't even
whatever.
See anything or... She just felt that way.
Right,
That's effing shaky is what I'm saying.
I mean, something like that, you could create that sensation in your mind with something going on in your,
yes,
in your head.
Yes.
Right.
All right.
All right, let's take one more real quick before the break, because Ron on line six sounds super lame. So I just want to set some ground rules here so we don't follow Ron's lead with future calls. Hi, Ron. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, okay. This is for real, too. Let me tell you. My wife and I were standing in our master bedroom. We just bought this house a couple of months prior. This was 20 years ago, the late 80s.
Hey, Ron, hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Now we're set. Now the table is set.
So we're standing in our master bedroom where there's a slider to the backyard. It's at night. We're talking. All of a sudden, the water faucet is on full blast. We have a backyard that's not landscaped, new home, all dirt. I immediately look out the back window. There's nothing there. I run outside to the backyard, right to the faucet. It's on full blast. I shut it off. I'm analyzing no footsteps, no traces, nothing. My wife and I, to this day, are convinced. We had just bought the house a couple months prior, and I don't know. I don't know. I'm convinced there was a ghost.
Were you having a celebratory drink after purchasing the house?
We were not. Right. We were 100% sober, and we talk about it to this day. How did that faucet randomly turn on?
But, Ron, isn't it possible if it's a new house that it was that the faucet was on and somehow the water got turned on?
You know, I thought of that. Now, I thought it's more likely possible that somebody ran back there, turned on, and ran away, but there's no footsteps.
No footprints, yeah.
No footprints. It was all dirt. So, like I say, I'm convinced. I'm like you. I'm not sure what to believe, but I don't doubt it either. So, kind of open-minded, but...
All right.
That's spooky. That is definitely spooky. Yeah. All right, dude. Thanks so much for the call. We got to take a quick break. Keep on calling with your ghost stories. 1-800-520-1067. We'll come right back after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, in honor of Halloween, we're talking about Halloween spooks. We're talking about your ghost stories at 1-800-520-1067. And they have to be something that you've thought about, and there's no other explanation that you can think of. It has to have been a visit from beyond. Why don't we start with Annie? Because I always think this is super interesting when this happens. Annie's on line one, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Annie, thanks for holding on. What's happening?
Hey. So basically what happened was I was trying to buy a house, and we toured this one, and I got a flash, an image of a guy.
Hold on. Before you tell us what you got an image of, hang on.
Okay. Now apparently we're set, Annie.
Okay. So I got this image of a guy hanging from the rafters. And, of course, I didn't buy the house, but my cousin loved it so much that she did. And about 2 weeks after that, the previous owner came by and wanted to walk around the house and see it again because that's where his son committed suicide.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Now, wait a minute, Annie. Isn't that the kind of thing that they have to disclose?
Good point.
Ahead of time?
No.
Yes,
it is.
Yes, it is.
It doesn't mean they did, but that's the law.
Not be. I mean, I don't know what state you're calling us from, Annie. But in California, that's the law. I believe that they have to disclose if somebody died in the house.
Well, they didn't say a darn thing.
That's weird.
That is weird. So you had no prior knowledge that anything like that had happened before until you saw the vision, and then it was later confirmed by a family member.
Yeah, and I mean, it happens to me quite a bit, but that's the only one I have actual proof for.
Like, dude,
hey, I'm not just crazy.
Actual proof, meaning the guy came and explained why that might be happening.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Wow.
Right.
That's fantastic. Wow. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. All right, let's try Mary on line three. A lot of chicks call them, by the way. I don't know what that says about them and their emotional state, but let's see what Mary's got to say. Welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hi.
When my son was 4 years old...
Hold on a second.
Kevin, maybe you could start the music before we go to the call, then we don't have to interrupt everybody.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, when my son was 4 years old, he came into my bedroom one night and he woke me up. And he goes, Mommy, Mommy... Grandma came to say goodbye. She came to tell me she was with the angels. Right after that, I got a phone call from my dad saying my mother had passed away.
Oh,
until this day,
yeah, wait a minute.
Until this day, he still talks about, and he calls her Grandma with the angels. Mm. He still says that she came to visit him.
So, I've heard stories like this before.
So he told you before you knew that your grandma was dead?
Right. He came and woke me up.
Wow.
We were and he was in his bedroom. He came up, shook me, woke me up to tell me that his grandmother had come to visit him to tell him that she was with,
she was
the,
with
angels.
The angels.
Wow. Now,
right.
Did you say, all right, go back to bed? I mean, or did you
was
freak
she
out?
Sick or anything?
No, no. I was half asleep, and I just said, well, come, you know, come lay down with me. You know, and then the phone rang, and it was my dad, and he said, I'm at the hospital.
Wow.
Your mom just passed away.
Mm. That's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
That's weird.
And now there's a ghost on the phone.
Now there's a ghost.
And
on
they
the
got
phone
a ghost, yeah. Right. Oh, my God. She's going down. Mary, are you okay? Do you need help?
Oh, she's there. All right.
All right. Thanks for calling, okay?
The noise was, but
wow, put that one in the file, by the way. That one goes up to the top of the creepo meter right there,
by
huh?
the way. And I've heard those stories before where somebody finds out before they knew the person died. That's weird.
I think so
that
too.
Is weird. Hey, Kevin, I mean, Jesse writes in, longtime listener, love the show, tell Mike to shut up. Listen, we've tried. This happened a few years ago at my mom's house. She was having some construction work done in a room just off the entrance, so there was drywall dust on the ground near the front door. My mom was home alone. She was napping in the living room. This one still gives me the chills. Well, I arrived to find small, white, dusty footprints on the hardwood floor going from the room being remodeled to where my mom was sound asleep on the sofa. Of course, I checked my mom's feet to find that they were completely clean. There was no one else in the house. The prints seemed to be of a small child. What's that about?
Ew.
Footprints in the dust in the house with nobody else there and mom asleep on the couch.
All right. I like that one.
I don't know. All right. Why don't we close with our friend Sandy on line 5. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween.
Hang on a second.
Kevin.
You said do it before she started the story.
Yeah, but.
All right, so I did.
All right, Sandy, what happened?
Okay, this happened to me 12 years ago at my mom's house. I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my room, and I was laying in bed. All of a sudden, I see like this big black shadow of a man. I don't know what it was. And it got on top of me, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't scream. I couldn't do anything.
That's strange. This is like the fourth time we heard that.
Yeah.
Something on top of me.
Yeah, and I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything.
Could it have been Michael Clark Duncan?
It happened to me a lot of nights, and I would cry to my mom and tell her I didn't want to sleep in my room anymore.
Is that an incubus, by the way? Is that what that is? Or a succubus?
Or is it a succubus, yeah.
Succubus?
It depends what he was doing to her.
Right, it depends on his intentions.
Yeah, it just wouldn't let me breathe. It wouldn't let me move.
So this happened more than once.
Yeah, it happened for a lot of time. We had just moved into this house. So I kept telling my mom, and she thought I was crazy or on drugs. And one night, I actually got it off of me, and I ran down the hall screaming, so she got up. She saw me when I jumped into her bed. She saw a black shadow right behind me, and then it got on top of her. And that's
wow.
Oh, yeah. Wow. First of all, that ghost is awesome. Second of all,
that ghost doesn't go on.
You had to be pissed, though. You had to go, Mom, oh, now you
yes,
believe me.
I couldn't sleep. This happened for over a month. And to this day, I'm 30 years old now. I'm 30 years old. To this day, I can't sleep with the closet door open or the bathroom light off.
Absolutely. Yeah, because a ghost can't get in any other way than the closet, right?
Yeah,
and they can't see if the light's off.
That's right. It's very common to fantasize about black men. We've all done it.
Sandy, what were you drinking that night?
Nothing. I was
all right.
18.
I'm just saying.
Wow. That gave me the chills.
That is a great story. Yep. That's a great story. All right. Hey, thanks very much for calling. Happy Halloween,
no
all right?
Happy Halloween.
Thank you.
See ya.
Bye now.
Thanks to Susan, by the way, a realtor listening to the Kevin and Bean Show tells us that a seller only has to disclose a death that happens in the house in California if it happened within the last 3 years of the date of purchase. So at least that's the law in that state. So okay. I don't know what it's like everywhere else.
Is there also a law for ghosts now that they can only stay for 3 years?
Oh, that's a good question, too. I don't know.
That's important.
And they pinned me down, and I couldn't breathe. And then I had a dream that someone died, and then my saw went off.
A lot of people emailing about a sleep disorder known as sleep paralysis, and that's what happens when you get pinned down. You can't move, you can't scream, you can't open your eyes. It's either sleep paralysis or alien abduction is what they're saying now.
Okay,
so,
all right.
Good. The good news is no ghosts. Bad news is you've been abducted by aliens. All right, we'll move on now. Ralph has the showbiz beat for a Thursday. What you talking about, Ralph?
No, here's the good news. Here's the good news.
But hold on a second.
Phillies
but wait a minute.
Fever.
You
those Phillies. What a long season has been for me rooting for my Phillies.
You hate baseball.
Every game, every day coming in here wearing the old gray and red.
You hate baseball.
flying my red Phil flag high.
Ralph, the Phillies are doing fine, but I don't think that they're playing that song anymore. I think they retired that about 30 years ago, the
Wrong,
Phillies
sir.
Fever song.
Oh,
really?
Well,
you bring
you
it back?
Know. I forgot. You're Larry Boa. Oh, I forgot. You're Steve Carlton. You know all about what the Phillies are doing. Why don't you just go, what are your Mariners doing? What are they up to?
They've been on vacation since, I don't know, about 3 months ago, I think.
Leave me and my Phillies alone. Woo! Can baseball! Woo!
Can you smack talk about a team in a sport you don't like?
Woo!
What have you done with our friend Ralph?
Baseball rules.
Yeah. He's running out of steam. Let's not worry about it.
I'm trying, man. You know, I can't talk about the other team, so I got to talk about something.
True.
All right, let's talk about Lila. It's back in the news again. Apparently, she has moved out of her Hollywood Hills home. This is the one that's been robbed a few different times. Apparently, she thinks the house has been tainted by thieves.
Yeah.
Yeah, so's her taint, by the way.
Oh.
What?
I don't even know what that means.
I'll explain to you afterwards. New York Post says she did it at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's when she moved out of her house. So that the paparazzi wouldn't catch her in the act. Isn't that sad? She has to move at 3 o'clock in the morning so that...
That really is.
Photographers won't bug her. Anyway, apparently no word on where she's moving to, but as soon as I find out, I'll let the paparazzi know so they can start hanging out there.
I'm an address.
Seeing if she's tainted or not. Don Johnson!
Yeah!
Back in the news.
Wow, that's a name we haven't heard in a while.
Of course, the star of Miami Vice. And then, of course, let's not forget Nash Bridges.
Sure.
He's in the news. He's currently in a lawsuit with the production company of Nash Bridges, saying they owe him, wait for it, $150 million.
What?
That's what he claims. Good luck with that lawsuit, Don Johnson. Listen, I saw that TV show a couple times. You owe me about 8 hours of my life back. So once you get all that cash, maybe you can help me out.
Ralph, was he the one that got stopped going across borders in Europe with a giant amount of cash?
Yes.
Remember that weird story?
Yes.
Right.
And I think he had a couple of bodies and some guns in that trunk, too, didn't he?
Excellent.
No, he was in Germany, and they caught him crossing the border with, like cases and cases of American dollars.
Yes.
Very strange.
He's got a weird life, that guy.
I think he was filming his own episode in his mind. Cindy Crawford interviewed this week, legendary supermodel. This is the sad state of affairs we live in today, boys and girls. She said if she was a model today, she wouldn't get any work because even in her heyday, given today's industry standards in fashion, she is way too fat.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Yeah, why?
Cindy Crawford talking about her prime, okay? Her prime.
She was amazing in her prime.
Too fat. She said she couldn't get a job now, looking the way she did. If she looked that way now, and she was a young model, she wouldn't work. She said, breasts, normal thighs, toned upper arms that are larger, just aren't what fashion executives are looking for. And she said she would never be a model today.
Isn't that something?
Well, then fashion executives are wrong.
I agree.
Because she's amazing. Forever.
I don't like the emaciated, I haven't eaten in a month look.
Yeah, I don't either.
Who does? I mean, do you ever hear anybody Spencer? Go, do you ever hear anybody really go, I love that look?
I don't know, but why does it seem like that's what every model is
well,
like?
Well, I think that's because
they make good hangers. They make good hangers, yeah. You never see a fat hanger, do you?
Nope.
You never see a big fat hanger hanging in your closet?
I don't think
no.
I have.
Made out of wire.
But good here's point. The thing that I don't understand, not to get on a discussion about fashion, but here's what I don't get. They walk the runway and advertise the clothes to excite women, because women are the ones who are going to be buying the clothes, right?
Yes.
Well, doesn't every woman who look at one of these toothpicks walking down the runway go, well, yeah, but it's not going to look like that on me because I'm a normal-sized girl.
Oh, no.
I don't have that body.
Women don't have that gene in their brain. You ever seen women walking around the street? Just because it looks good in the catalog, ladies, doesn't mean it looks good on your fat ass.
Right, but I would think it would make more sense to put clothes on people who look like the people who are going to be buying them so that they could then say, oh, that's what I'll look like.
No, you're selling the dream. You're not selling the reality.
Exactly.
If I put on that dress, I'll look as skinny and beautiful as that woman. That's the idea.
Ralph's got it exactly
right. And these women own mirrors. And they put on the clothes and they look in the mirror and they go, yes, I look like her now.
I'm not sure we're in touch with the fashion world.
You don't even know, man.
Serve you.
Got you there, Kevin.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Winona Ryder is 38 years old today.
Actress Gabrielle Union is 36 Ooh. Years old. I was threatened if I didn't give her a birthday shout-out.
All right.
That person was right.
Yeah, yeah. He claims to be our other token black listener, by the way.
Oh, we have another one?
That's what I said. Yeah, right.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, we have two black listeners, whatever you say, Chief.
Is she on Flash Forward, Gabrielle Union? Doesn't she play John Cho's fiancée?
I believe so.
All right.
Isn't that her, so. Ralph? You watch Flash Forward. You know what I'm talking about.
He does his have hot black fiancé.
I thought that was Gabrielle Union. If
I'm
that's
not
what I'm thinking
familiar
of.
Enough to get with Gabrielle Union's work to know whether that's her.
They're
or
telling
not.
Me yes.
Was
no,
she
no.
the
okay.
one in Life? Was she his new partner in Life? Was that Gabrielle
yes.
Union?
Then yes.
That's
that
the same
her.
Girl then.
Yep.
Yes,
all right.
It is.
Well, happy birthday then. She's lovely.
I didn't know she looks younger than 36. I didn't know.
She's lovely.
Yeah.
Who's ever said that?
My grandfather used to say it. Bean says it with the rest of the guys hanging out on the front porch at the Cracker Barrel.
Yeah,
down there,
lovely.
Playing checkers over the pickle barrel. Eating their porridge.
Stop talking. Prairie Home Companions on. I'm listening.
Randy Jackson of the Jackson 5 and then the Jacksons is 48 years old today. Dan Castellaneta from The Simpsons.
The human wang is a beautiful thing.
He is 52 years old today. He's been on The Simpsons for 20 years now.
Are you sure you're a fully accredited and bonded pornographer?
Dan Castellaneta has been Homer Simpson for 20 years.
Wow, what a gig.
And just a year ago, people learned how to say Castellaneta.
That's
they
true.
They finally learned how to say his last name after 19 years on television. Richard Dreyfuss is 62 years old today. He is an Oscar-winning actor and one of my faves. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
One of your people in the news this week, Kevin, I know you love our man from Proctor, Minnesota, who was arrested driving drunk on a motorized Lazy Boy lounge chair. Look, he may have been, he may have had a blood alcohol level of 0.29 at the time he was pulled over and arrested by the cops, but at some point he had to be sober because this could not have been a very easy project to
right.
fit this Lazy Boy into something that he could take out onto the street with a steering wheel and everything.
He had an 8-horsepower lawnmower engine, a stereo, headlights, a built-in cup holder,
wow.
a bumper sticker that says, hell yeah, it's fast, but he had 0.29, which is about three times over the legal limit, and ran into a parked car.
Oops.
Well, there is that.
So that wasn't good.
So he is definitely one of Kevin's people, and we asked producer Alex to line him up, and I think we have Mr. Dennis Anderson, age 62, from Proctor, Minnesota, on the line with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Dennis.
Hey there. How you doing, eh?
We're doing fine. What are you doing right now? What's all that noise?
I got to drive to my probation officer, eh? So I'm in the Lazy Boy on my way.
You're driving in the Lazy Boy again?
Yeah.
Is that legal?
I thought they took the Lazy Boy away from you and you weren't allowed to drive it anymore, no?
Oh, that makes you think I just have the one.
Oh, you have others?
Oh, I see.
I have an entire home full of motorized furniture.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a category.
Do you mind if I ask why?
It's just so much more fun than regular furniture.
Okay.
Like, if I want to go to the kitchen, a lot of people will just get on their feet and go walk in there.
Well, sure,
me,
I'll
get on my my Ottoman Segway, and I'll just cruise on over there and get myself a beer.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, you should be drinking now, though, Dennis.
Ooh. Dennis? Be drinking always. That's what I always say.
Right, but you got a DUI recently.
Right.
Right, so you shouldn't be drinking and driving.
But that's crap, don't you think?
What?
Well,
DUI
no, I mean,
for being in a chair.
Yeah, but if you're running into people's cars,
while intoxicated, I was sitting
driving. We're all sitting.
But you're driving too, though.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna plead insanity.
Okay.
Yeah, goes.
Here's the thing, though, Dennis. You sound like a smart guy. You already got sentenced to 6 months in jail and a $2,000 fine. It seems like maybe the last thing you want to do is be out driving again while drinking.
But listen, I'm in a chair, eh?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's different, isn't it?
Well, but you were in the chair when you got arrested.
What if I'm on my Vespa footstool?
Well, you have a Vespa footstool?
Yeah.
Are you on the streets?
Well, sometimes. Sometimes I go up on the sidewalk.
Well, that may not be a good idea.
Sometimes I drive over people's lawns.
Wow, that seems bad.
Oh, depends how many I've had of these.
Oh, no.
Liney okay. Kugels.
Don't have another
one. I love my Lineys.
Okay, don't. Seriously, this is not a good idea, Dennis.
It's a great idea. I've never felt a better idea ever.
So you had
I decided to put a motor on my wheel, on my chair.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to say, an 8-horsepower Kohler lawnmower engine. I mean, that's a lot of power for a chair.
It is. For a chair. Usually chairs have no power whatsoever.
That's correct.
So it would be considerably more power.
Now,
in contrast,
chair.
Yeah.
That's you know right. what? You know what else I noticed?
What do you notice?
Most Lazy Boy chairs don't have headlights as well.
That's good true. Point. That's why you rarely see them at night on the road. But mine goes at night. And it goes all over the gosh darn anywhere I want to go with it, it goes.
Right.
I love that you put a stereo in it and a cup holder, too, because that just is, that just makes for a much more comfortable ride.
That's how I roll in my lazy bazooie.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I heard one of you guys wants to buy it.
I would love to, yeah.
Are you sure you're mad enough for it? Mm.
To drive a Lazy Boy chair?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
You have to be a special kind of fella to be able to do that.
I drink.
Do you?
Yeah, a lot.
You have a naturally dyed white hair?
Maybe.
You wear striped shirts?
Well, what does that have to do with it?
Yes, that's Kevin. Oh, yeah, yes. Well, how do you know that?
Have you ever gotten into someone else's car at the valet parking?
Wait, what does this have to do with anything?
I'm just going through my white trash checklist. Sounds like you're okay with me, boy.
I just check them all on the yes
Hell
category.
Yes,
all right.
Right now in studio, we are proud to welcome back Jason Mayhem Miller, ladies and gentlemen, from CBS Strike Force Saturday Night Fights.
Nice to be back. Fighting again
1 week from this Saturday. This Saturday is Halloween, and then the following Saturday is your big fight on CBS. How are you, Mayhem?
I'm going to be a cage fighter for Halloween.
Solid. Now, the last time we had you in, we were talking about Bully Beatdown.
Yeah. And Bully Beatdown still rolling strong,
still
man.
Rolling.
We got 2 episodes tonight, 9:30. I'm pretty pumped about it. Just some special released episodes, you know, right after this season is over. They got 2 extra back-to-back, I think 9:30. Man, I'm pumped.
For people who haven't seen the show yet, describe the premise and what it is that you do and the service that you provide.
Well, I provide the service of entertainment because basically, if you haven't seen the show, I bring we find bullies that have been picking on guys. The guys tell me about their story. Then I offer the bully who accepts my challenge to step in the cage against a pro MMA fighter for the chance at 10 grand. Now, what happens is he gets beat up. We laugh at him.
Right. Now, what's going on with the mindset of these bullies who think they're all that but can't possibly believe they can compete with a professional fighter? Why do they say yes?
Well, I don't know.
10 grand, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's all an ego thing. You know what I mean? They see us doing it like, next Saturday in Chicago, I'm going to be fighting on CBS. You know, they see that. And it looks a lot easier on TV than it does.
Yes,
you
a
know.
Lot. Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I could do that for sure. You know, I lift some weights, bro. Like, I definitely could get in there. And I've been in, like, 16 bar fights and won, like, at least 7 of them. So, you know, those guys are like, those guys, they get that feeling. They get superpowers once they watch us fight on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They lose perspective as where they really are in the food chain, though.
Well, that's the beauty of the show. It's kind of like, if you watch a guy on TV, you know, if you can tackle a running back, if you think you can tackle a running back. I played high school football.
Yep.
I could tackle a running back.
For some reason, all guys, not all guys, 90% of guys are like that, though. They'll see something and go, oh, basketball, NBA? Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I could dunk on Kobe for sure.
It's really shocking how much guys think that way.
Yeah,
so
I don't blame them.
Tell me this, Mayhem, because I know MTV all the time. I watch the channel and they come on and they go, if this is happening to you, contact us. What are the stories that people write in or call into MTV about when they are being bullied? What are they usually being bullied about?
I'm not on that end as much. I just get the...
But you meet these people who are being bullied, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Why is it they're
about
being
on the show? Or are you
I'm just wondering what's going on in their lives. The victims of the bullies. What's going on in their lives that makes them contact MTV? Like, why are they being beat up? Usually, these people that you try to save on the show,
because they're dorks. Really. No, I mean, you know, it's just not everybody's a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I understand that. And to me, it's cool that not everybody is a tough guy. We need the Stephen Hawkings of the world, or we wouldn't be smart. You don't want all mayhems. Good Lord.
Now, have you ever done, I think I asked you this last time, but have you ever done a follow-up where you go to the city, the dork is complaining about the guy, then you beat him up, and then you leave, and then the dork's still there with the dude?
I have satisfied customers so far. But,
all right.
But don't worry, I'll do that just for you, man.
Okay,
Has anyone ever been able to beat the pro? Have any of the bullies actually prevailed?
This past season, we've had some crazy fights. Like, we've had a bully knock the fighter down, like hit him with the right hand and drop him on his butt. It
wow.
was hilarious. Like, I was shocked and appalled. I was shock-appalled. So, you know, it can happen, you know, but, you know.
It's a lucky shot in general.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it was lucky, but it was lucky for somebody, not for the fighter. But, so it was good, you know, it was a good time, and it's good to give these guys at least a chance. That way, you know, they'll keep signing up.
They'll keep signing up. Yeah, also last time you said you have no shortage of stories and people that are willing to get in the ring. That's shocking to me.
Hey, man, listen, dude, there's a lot of dumb people in the world. You guys have a huge audience. I mean, come on.
There are a lot of dumb people in the world. That is true. Now, you're going to fight again, being mentioned, a week from Saturday, CBS Strikeforce Saturday night. And
yeah,
I'm pumped, man.
I'm really excited. I'm on the same card with, like, you know, arguably the top heavyweight in the world, which is Fedor. He's Fedor Emelianenko. Like, this guy, like, he is infamous. Like, he just Russian bear, like, crazy, like, training in the wilderness, Siberian, like, you can see YouTube videos of him, like, doing crazy training, hitting tires, and oh man,
it says he's a master of the Russian military combat system Sambo.
Sambo's kind of like I know you've heard of Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
Except they break your legs instead of just your arms. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's weird, man. They do like crazy takedown stuff, and like they slam the guys on their head, and they have a weird different style than we're used to seeing here in America.
It's a little rougher, even.
It's just different. Like, it's different. You know, you're doing things like leg locks, and you know, he's good at that. I mean, he's good at all the regular stuff too. But yeah, that's kind of his. But in Russia, that's what the alternative to jiu-jitsu is. You know, like we do jiu-jitsu. There, they do sambo.
You may not know the answer to this, Jason, but it seems like a lot of fighters come out of the former Soviet Union and the country of Russia. What's going on there? Why is there such a culture of this sort of activity out there?
Well, no, I mean, it's just that they've had sambo out there for years and years and years, and martial arts has been like a respected sport, like has been a respected thing in Russia for a lot longer than here in America. Like, and people look at martial arts here in America differently with Bruce Lee and whatnot. We think of it like, whatcha? Yeah, but, right. But martial arts, you guys don't understand, is martial arts includes boxing and wrestling. Those are the two most applicable martial arts, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They're like real martial arts because they're time tested. Now, Russia, they've been doing that forever. Like, they've been doing that for years, and they've been into judo and into jiu-jitsu and into sambo for a lot longer than here in America. America, we just picked it up, you know, with the ultimate fighting fad along with, you know,
right.
tribal tattoos.
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, like, we had one of the Klitschko boys in the other day, and he was talking about how he was, you know, he was basically bred to do this. I mean, he was trained from the time he was a little kid to fight, you know, and I just wondered if that's fairly commonplace over there.
Yeah, that's true, too. I mean, as far as he would be able to say it better than I can, but what I've heard is, you know, they pluck the Russian kids. Hey, look, you look strong. You're going to be a wrestler. And then they make the guy be
a
wrestler.
But I'm four.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, well, get out of that breadline, kid. You are going to learn to wrestle.
Is Brazil the country where most fighters come from?
No, I mean, you know, honestly, right now, because of, you know, the economic times, America, you know, there's mostly every 16-year-old boy is watching TV, wants to be, you know, Ultimate Fighter. And, you know, after Strikeforce coming up, there's going to be even more because it's on CBS on free television. So now you can just click it right on there instead of have your dad buy you a pay-per-view, you know?
Well, it does seem easier and more fun than college, I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
hey,
before we
take a break and talk some more about that event November 7th, I have to ask you this, Mayhem. Have you seen the video of the little 5-year-old Romanian bodybuilder kid?
Wow.
Have you seen that video going around yet?
I've seen this kid. I've seen this kid. Check that kid for steroids, for
That's
sure.
That's what
man.
I'm saying. Or he's 30.
That's Kevin's theory. Is that he's 30, just looks young, and they're just the whole thing's a hoax. But now, would you fight him if you had the chance?
Yeah, I would beat the absolute dog snot out of that kid.
Really? Because he's so tiny, it wouldn't be
care.
Tough to get
I'll
him.
Stop. I've always wondered how many midgets I could take at one time. I think that would be a good test. I think that I could take at least like 12 midgets simultaneously.
12?
Oh, that'd be a great pay per view.
No, yeah. No, there's. He said midgets. I'm
yeah, he said kids.
Five kids.
Okay. Oh, 5 year olds. Oh, I could take out like 45 at least. And I mean, I'm talking bloody noses. I'm talking brain damage, life ending.
Here's what I like about you, ma'am, is that Bean brings up a 5 year old. You go, I would kick the snot out of him.
Yeah.
Most of us would go, I'd take it easy. He's five.
Not
you.
All right. Dude, tell your friends at CBS that's the next fight after this one is you with 45-year-olds. That would be awesome.
Man, that would be awesome.
Who couldn't watch that? It would be the best thing ever. All right, we got to take a break. Jason Mayhem Miller is here. CBS Strike Force Saturday Night Fights is a week from Saturday, 9 o'clock on CBS. By the way, if we have time, we'll include your phone calls if you have any questions for Mayhem. 1-800-520-1067. A quick break. We return after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to try to get our guest, Jason Mayhem Miller from the CBS Strike Force Saturday Night Fights, to come out of his shell a little bit, open up. Maybe a little bit here in this segment. The fight is a week from Saturday night against Jake Shields, your friend from the Bully Beatdown. Hey, where did the mayhem come from? Forgive me if you covered this last time when I wasn't here, but where'd you get the nickname?
Well, have you not talked to me for the last 5 minutes?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I know.
That's an excellent answer.
Yeah, somebody started off with Project Mayhem, and it was kind of a clown because I was so hyperactive. But, you know, it came into, like, being a cool fight nickname. I was like, oh, that's awesome.
It seems like all the fighters have nicknames, some of them better than others.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Dragon is an awesome nickname for Rashida. But there's another guy fighting on your night next Saturday that has the nickname Dreamcatcher.
Yeah, and listen, that's I have no
gay.
Idea. Maybe he's made of turquoise or something.
Sounds like it.
I have no idea. I think he wears wolf t-shirts all the time. So, like, you know, like,
and
I
he's
don't know.
Fighting the African assassin. That's a much better nickname.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Though, the guy, that Gerard Mousasi is like, he's an excellent fighter. Like, he's an amazing up-and-coming fighter. Like, has just beat all kinds of guys on the international scale and really been impressive every time, knocking out guys, like, constantly knock. Like, he's up-kicked, like, laying on his back. He got taken down. He kicked up at the guy, hit him in the chin, knocked him out cold.
Wow.
I was like, wow. And I was like, he just got lucky. The next fight, he, like, was on top of the guy from, you know, in his guard and just landed a shot. And then land another one, and then knock the guy out cold again. I'm like, wow, this guy keeps getting lucky. Like, you can't call him lucky anymore. He's just an amazing fighter. You know?
Think he has Dreamcatcher just so people underestimate him?
Listen, I think he's foreign. He doesn't even know what a damn Dreamcatcher means. Somebody said, hey, here's a good nickname. He's like, okay. I like this nickname.
No, but I think Kevin's on to something. I think that should be the new trend. He should come up with a nickname that will basically let the other guy put his guard down. I mean, I'm going to fight as Slow and Fat. I mean, that's going to be my name, and then nobody's going
to
think I can do
fancy
anything.
Fancy Pants.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of good fighters, you have to, I mean, I don't know how much time you individually focus on your next opponent, but I mean, you look at what Jake Shields has got going on. Yeah. 12 fights in a row, he's won 6 of his last 7 first round submissions. I mean, you got to have a plan stepping in there, right? You've been thinking about that.
Yeah, my plan is to beat him up because I'm better than him. Nah, you know, it's just one of those things like, he's definitely had a good run recently, and you know, a 12 fight win streak, man, that's pretty impressive. But I'm not gonna be lucky number 13, I'll tell you that much. It's just one of those things, like, I know that I have the style to beat him up, and at the very least have a style to make a tremendously exciting fight. So, you know, you'll see it there on CBS, man, on November 7th. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to beat the tar out of him.
Now, do you, when you're preparing for a fight, do you watch film of what he does and how he does it?
Absolutely. But there's no secrets to me. You know, like, I see what he does. He watches the tape and sees what I do.
Sure.
So we're going to go see who does it better. You know?
That's right.
And I think styles make fights. The style clash is what's really going to win this fight for me.
Do you fight as much as you'd like to, or would you rather have more or fewer fights?
Yeah, you know, I would like to fight a little more, but honestly, like, at the level that we're fighting at, the training is hell. I wish I could just fall off my bar stool and beat somebody up every couple weeks, you know, in the Dairy Queen parking lot. But, you know, the thing is that you have to train so hard. So you got to devote your whole life to it that really, you know, if you want to remain injury free, you can only do like 4 or 5 fights a year.
You mentioned during the song off the air that you wanted to fight probably 2 more times by the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so November 7th is one. That doesn't leave you a lot of time.
Yeah, well, they have a New Year show in Japan where there's a giant, you know, massive, like, they have like a weird kind of festival type of a show, like where they have like basically like giant stage show and everything like that, and it's really way different. So yeah, after, you know, I'm not looking past Jake Shields,
right?
But I would like to fight over there also. You know, you know, the CBS card is definitely shaping up to be an amazing night of MMA. It's like a landmark in MMA, especially on, you know, free TV.
Yeah.
Has MMA been catching on pretty big in Asia?
Oh yeah! Oh, it's Japan been is rock solid for years. You know, like they love it there, and in Japan in particular, they have such a respect for martial arts culture. You know, and on top of that, it's been, you know, part of the culture for so long that you know we're just kind of catching on now. They've been karate. Haya!
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess the sumo culture and everything else all kind of intertwined. All right, let's squeeze in a couple quick calls before we have to let Mr. Miller go. Jason Mayhem Miller, our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's start with Mike. He's on line 5. Mike, thanks for holding on. You're on with Mayhem. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up?
You have a question?
Or would you ever want to go to UFC?
His phone's cutting out. UFC ever tried to sign you, or would you want to go there?
You know, I fought for them before years and years ago. You know, and there's a trade-off for fighting in the UFC. The UFC is the biggest name in the business, okay? But in order to fight for them, you got to give up all your rights, and you can't do some things like bully beatdown, for example. Like,
oh, you have to clear that through them, and they wouldn't let you or whatever.
It's like a weird thing. Like, you're not, like, it's not as easy to do things outside. You, once you sign that paper, you're Dana White's guy. You know, you're
wanted to say bitch, didn't you, Jason?
Okay, yeah, I did.
Dana White's bitch is what you wanted to say.
Sure.
But that's clearly what you meant.
Yeah.
All right, interesting point. Let's try Mia real quick. Line 4, please, for Jason Mayhem Miller. Hi, Mia. You're on the air. Go ahead.
We love the show. How come you don't have any girl bullies?
Girl bullies.
Yeah, interesting.
We tried. I think she failed the psych test. You women are crazy. Yeah, we can't knowingly beat up a woman who's absolutely out of her mind. So, yeah, she didn't get on. I mean, there's a borderline girl bully tonight at 9:30, I think. Just watch that episode. I think you'll
a real girl, but border. Yeah,
He'll be happy to hear that assessment. All right, Mia, thank you for the call. We don't have time to find out. I wonder if Mia is the bully or if she's the one who's being bullied. And that's
like
why she's calling.
Me too.
Yeah, I thought so, too. All right, good times. Jason Mayhem Miller is going to be fighting Jake Shields. That's just one of the great fights on CBS free TV, CBS Strikeforce Saturday Night Fights. It's going to be 1 week from this Saturday at 9 on CBS. Fedor, of course, is the lead fight with Brett the Grim Rogers, his competition. That's a terrible nickname, the Grim, by the way.
That's not
while
bad.
We're on the topic. The Grim?
It's the last emperor against the Grim.
And then make it Grim Reaper or something, not the Grim.
And then
come
we got
on.
African Assassin, and then we got Dreamcatcher.
Man, you're making me not want to have a nickname now.
No, Mayhem's strong.
No, Mayhem's awesome. It's awesome.
All right.
And so are you, Jason. Thanks a lot for coming down and coming to Beach Show. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Lisa. It is 7:54.
Sure is.
Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
I'm getting some coffee here.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Wait
thank
for
you,
a second.
Ms. Cleo. Appreciate that.
Ralph, get some coffee.
You giant cans. You have giant cans.
You never get over that when Ms. Cleo is working in the office, by the way. Yeah.
I do. I absorb the information. I know she has giant cans. I walk around with that knowledge on a daily basis. But still, sometimes when she walks in the room, I look at her cans. I go, whoa! Those are giants!
And I got to tell you, the work she's been putting in with Psycho Mike on the diet the last few months.
Doesn't she look great?
Looking fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't care for that noise you made just before you started that sentence. It was like, I gotta tell you, hey,
take it easy.
He has just a way of turning every noise into like.
I'm not being creepy.
You
come on,
are the verbal equivalent of a dude in a raincoat.
No.
At a bus stop, every time
I'm just
you say
appreciating
something
her hard work.
Sexual,
that's
it
all.
Comes out like a guy like Aqualung, like just like snot is dripping from his nose. Just a greasy, creepy dude on a bus stop bench.
I don't think you intend it to be creepy, but it does get tinged with creep before it comes to us.
It does.
Well, I don't know what you guys are talking
about.
Sorry.
It's ridiculous. All right, let's talk about show business, shall we?
Okay.
I know we've told you this before, people, but seriously, go to whatwouldtylerdurdendo.com, WWTDD.com. And go every day and look at their photos and read their hilarious commentary because it is the funniest entertainment news website on the internet.
And
today
they like to feature hot chicks as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's one of the good things. But the wit and the writing on this website is so high, so high end, so high quality, and it blows me away. They've got a very funny story today about Lindsay Lohan's new tattoo. And I can't do it justice without reading you the whole story. But go there and check it out for yourself. Just let it be known that she got a new tattoo. And all you really need to know about her is provided to you from this tattoo.
Okay.
It is a phrase. It's a few small stars.
Okay.
Tattooed on her skin. And then the phrase as follows. Stars. All we ask for is our right to twinkle.
That she has that in a tattoo?
Yeah.
Really?
She just got
that put
tattooed.
That on her body in a permanent fashion?
Yep. All she's asking for is her right to twinkle, man. Why do we have to hold her down? Why do we have to keep her from being all she can be? Why? Why are we forcing her not to twinkle?
Why are we forcing her to drink so much?
Just let her twinkle, man.
But listen, I don't care if she twinkles. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
That is an amazing tattoo.
It is. And the title from Tyler Durden is, Why Do You Insist on Keeping Lindsay from Greatness?
We are holding her back. That's
holding
true.
Her back. We're not letting her twinkle. You guys catch Jimmy Kimmel last night?
Loved it.
He had on Melissa Joan Hart, who probably for most of you was known as Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, 15 years ago, she had a very popular TV series on ABC when she was a teenager. Now she's all grown up. And she wants to be taken seriously, and she's trying to reboot her career by appearing on this karaoke dancing show.
Dancing with the Stars?
So, she goes on Jimmy Kimmel, and Jimmy goes for a perfectly reasonable joke, considering she used to be Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right.
She gets all uppity. She gets all up in his grill. And Jimmy, God bless him, slaps her right back down to earth. Please enjoy.
At any point during the competition, did you consider using witchcraft to help you?
Whoa, hold on. That joke is like 1996, I think, so...
Yeah, but you know what? So
no,
are you, to be honest.
Whoa!
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm an evil person.
Yeah, that happens.
Let's try to get past that, Melissa.
That happened on television.
Wow.
Yeah.
Destruction.
I know that Jimmy thinks stuff like that all the time, but usually doesn't say it to the person's face on TV.
I think usually he doesn't say it out of sort of deference and being a good host, but the minute she got all uppity, I think he's like, you know what? All right, fine.
When she attacked him,
off.
It was on.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's not a smart move. You don't want to attack Jim on his own show.
No, you lose if you attack Jimmy,
that's
for sure.
Do not corner the wildebeest. As they say in the jungle.
You also have to watch Jake Bird on that show from last night at the This Is It.
We don't have to do anything, all right?
I'm saying you have to.
No, just back off. I'm not taking any lessons from you, mister.
I'm saying you have to watch it.
How about you just suggest I watch it? I should look into it. You would like it. Don't tell me what I have to do, man. You're not the boss of me.
You have to watch it.
Oh, I will come over there and take you out.
Let's hug it out.
And NBC's struggles may actually work in our favor, people, if you're like me and you're a Chuck fan. Apparently, NBC's got so many crappy shows on right now that are dropping by the wayside. They're putting Chuck back on the schedule earlier than expected.
Is that right?
It was supposed to be a mid-season replacement, but unfortunately, they need season replacements. And so they're putting Chuck back on the air quickly, and in addition, have ordered 6 additional episodes on top of the 13 they already have waiting to be aired. So Chuck fans rejoice. We get Chuck, more Chuck, sooner.
Great.
NBC could not be in a rocket race to be further down on the ratings list than they are right now. I mean, they're doing everything they can to lose. They're like the number six network now, aren't they, Ralph?
They are.
Take two.
No, tell me more about the rocket race down the list.
I'm just saying every decision they make seems to backfire and not work for them. That's all.
Is NBC doing well, though?
They're not doing very well,
though. Okay, that's what I
in fact.
That's what I was trying to get. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Gabrielle Union is 36 years old today. I neglected to mention that earlier this morning. Got this email from Dennis. Ralph, Gabrielle Union is the most beautiful woman in the universe.
She's pretty hot.
Yet you failed to mention her birthday on the first Showbiz beat. You have less than an hour to rectify that mistake, or I will come to the station and kick you in the nuts. Sincerely, Dennis, the other token black listener. So I'm sorry, Dennis. I apologize. Wow. I hope we're good now. We good?
Sorry, we cool?
Sorry about the whole slavery thing, too. Really, I had nothing to do with that. It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
I know it wasn't you.
Well,
Mrs. Butterworth.
Mrs. Butterworth, that's right. No, she's not a slave lady, no matter what Kevin says.
How dare you?
You asked if she was a slave lady.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Mike, we get that tape.
No, I know what you're talking about.
We have
we don't have time for this.
I know we have Petros Papadakis in the other room. But I think we have time to find the Mrs. Butterworth tape. Because
is she a slave woman?
There we go. That one. Where he was asking.
All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
No, she's not a slave woman. She's just a woman who likes pancakes and providing you with delicious syrup.
But I'm saying, was she forced to provide them with syrup?
No,
is what I'm asking.
She's making it as a free choice.
I wasn't trying to be rude or anything. I wasn't.
You were lumping her in with the whole Aunt Jemima crowd where everyone who gives you syrup has to be a slave woman.
That's not true.
That's how you like
Aunt Jemima wasn't
a
slave either, by the way.
Right.
She just happened to be black.
Right. She just happened to work for a family that liked pancakes, so she brought them syrup every day.
You know, it's not fun when you're like this.
No, it isn't, Kevin. Don Imus got nothing on you, man. Randy Jackson of the Jacksons is 48 years old. This is kind of good. I don't feel real well right now. I'm getting a little lightheaded. And I think it's helping the show. I do.
Okay.
I'm about to pass out right after these birthdays.
Is that good?
We'll see.
Okay.
Dan Castellaneta from The Simpsons is 52 years old today.
Forget you, pal. Thanks for nothing.
Sorry, we spent a lot of time in Gabrielle Union. And Richard Dreyfuss celebrates his 62nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is Lisping Athlete and Former Athlete Day today on The Kevin and Bean Show. As we welcome our friend Petros Papadakis here.
Thanks.
Well,
wow.
I'm just saying,
guys.
Wow. Mayhem. Sports. Mayhem had a little bit of a lift going on also. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I heard that guy on the way up, and usually I can come in here and, you know, bounce you guys around and act tough and intimidate Lisa May. Yeah. That's what I kind of try to do. I kind of try to bump Lisa May against the lockers here like a real jock. But, you know, I come in today, and you guys got some tough guy fighter that,
dude,
you know,
we
lives with his knees
handled.
On some guy's chest.
Yeah.
Punches people's faces in for a living, and now, you know, all of a sudden I don't seem so tough. Now I look like a big Care Bear.
You're kind of a sissy.
Care Bear stare, Bean. Care Bear stare.
What? I have to ask. Care Bear's on fire. That's the band. I have to ask this this question because you must get this all the time. We got an email from a listener. Petros Papadakis, of course, is a nationally syndicated radio
Is this
radio
one of those hater ass emails that you always read whenever I come in here about people that hate me? I know
just
people hate me. I know. I hate myself.
Petros is a nationally syndicated radio sports talk show host, and he also, of course, is a football analyst and does lots of college games and does a terrific job with that. First, I just saw Petros Papadakis while watching the Kings game this week. Did you go to a Kings game, Pete?
I did not.
Okay. Well, he saw you on the TV, I guess, maybe.
No.
I listened to Petros. Well, I don't know. I don't know how he saw you.
Sometimes they play your commercials.
Yeah, I'm doing reports and stuff. I'm doing reports that they run there. That's fine. Okay. Yeah.
I listened to Petros on the radio, and I thought, honestly, he was like 200 years old based on his voice, but it turns out he's a young guy. Now, do you get that a lot, first of all, Pete?
You know, people think I'm from New York when I really live a half hour away in San Pedro. People think I was born and raised on the Eastern Seaboard. People think I'm like a Romanian gymnastics coach.
You do? Mean,
people think all kinds of weird stuff about me, you know? Look on my Wikipedia page. There's like things that, you know, somebody said I fathered 9 children. You know, I have no kids. People get excited, you know? They spread rumors when you're a little weird, Bean. You know, what can I do? I'm 32 years old, ladies and gentlemen. I started coming on this show when I was, God, you guys are going to feel so old. I started coming on this show when I was 25.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a while now.
All right, so he says, first of all, he thought you were 200 years old based on your voice, but he finds out you're a young guy. Weird. Plus, as ugly as Matt Money Smith is, Petros makes him look like Brad Pitt or George Clooney or whoever the
uglier
guy is that's supposed to be cute.
Isn't that Petros? Wild? I was voted on a football team where there's 350-pound guys with zits, and the African-American guys call the zits the bumps.
The bumps.
Oh, you got the bumps! You know, I mean, but you know, there was like really ugly people on a college football team, you can imagine. You know, we're talking body mass index off the charts. We're talking guys that just blow it out. You know, when they use the bathroom, no one can go in there.
Aww.
You know, we're talking. I mean, we're talking about disgusting people,
right?
And I was voted ugliest on the team for 3 straight years.
Come on,
yeah,
congratulations!
Thank you. Very proud.
Put your
of that.
Hands together. For
very
team.
Proud. Well, I think it was a novelty the last 2 years, but the first year, I think I really earned it.
This emailer closes with Petros should be a grizzled, old, ugly, bitter, get off my lawn kind of guy,
well,
but he seems to be young, somewhat vibrant, and articulate. I'm so confused. Oh. What's up with that?
I drink bourbon, if that's any consolation. Petros, you know, I drink a great deal of bourbon.
Petros also is a singer. A lot of people may not realize.
Yeah, I do. I sang for that band, Slightly Stupid, one night that you guys just played. You know, I can sing dancehall reggae. A lot of people don't know that about me.
Tomorrow, tomorrow, they'll love you. Tomorrow, you're only some tears away.
That's my mom.
When karaoke goes bad.
Come on. When karaoke goes bad, indeed.
Oh, come on. I can say, I don't ever do karaoke. You know, if I was going to do karaoke, I'd do, I'd probably do like Boys to Men or R. Kelly or something that really would get the guy.
Jodeci's
go, sure. I can't leave weed alone. It's gotten me fiending for you.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. KROQ, where's my record deal?
All right.
Come on. Where's
Gippin? Let me ask you this, Pete.
Yeah, what do you want?
There's not much to be said about last night's unbelievable Cliff Lee performance for the Philadelphia Phillies. That was a phenomenal game. And
yeah,
great
Phillies.
So instead, let's talk about what's going on with the Dodger story
that has captured the world. Awful or what? I mean, you guys are from L.A., right?
Awful but great.
No, but not really, though.
But
no,
just,
no, okay, no, but Kevin.
Let's say I don't like baseball.
Okay.
Great.
This doesn't have anything to do with baseball.
Yeah,
that's
but you know
awesome
what? It has something to do with the culture of our city. Now, these people, the McCourts, Frank and Jamie, they came to town, what was it, like 8 years ago, 7 years ago. They bought the team from Fox. You know, they barely had any money to buy it, everybody was saying. Here's these people that owned parking lots in Boston. Their great-grandfather owned like a sliver of the Atlanta Braves or something, or the Boston Braves. So all of a sudden, they're qualified to own a baseball team. They come out here and they push on us. This idea of a power couple for the new millennium.
Yeah.
And look how much era my wife era is involved. Era Jamie McCourt era CEO of the Dodgers era. We are only era stewards era of the Dodgers franchise. I mean, the Dodgers mean more to the people of this city than any other sports franchise.
I agree.
They're the oldest.
Except for the Lakers.
The Dodgers are bigger than that. I mean, they really are. Because they attract more people per year. And they're less of an elitist entity than the Lakers. You know, the Lakers have a Hollywood feel that the Dodgers just don't have. The Dodgers are really special.
Right.
And, you know, the Dodgers and the Lakers and the Cowboys and the freaking Knicks and the Yankees, I mean, these are the sports franchises we're talking about. And these people are using our baseball team in town like it's a Ferrari, going back and forth in their salacious, ridiculous, selfish, carpet-bagging divorce, and it's a shame. I mean, it's really a shame, and I'm just ashamed that it's happening to the Dodgers. If it was the freaking Padres, which happened a few years ago, who cares?
Then you're fine with that.
Okay, yeah. But, I mean, we're talking about the Dodgers, and he's saying that she's having an affair or inappropriate relationships, allegedly, with a subordinate. You know, she wants him to still pay her boyfriend, a.k.a. bodyguard. I mean, it's just, and this is all coming out in the news. All their lawyers can't shut their mouths about it.
Yeah.
They're
Petros.
Stealing headlines from the Petros. World Series. They're stealing headlines from Major League Baseball.
But Petros.
Everybody's pissed.
Don't you put this at the feet of Mr. McCourt for giving his wife a figurehead position in the organization to begin with?
I mean, you can blame them both. I mean, look, here's my thing.
Bean's
people
going to try and blame
people
the
get
wife,
divorced.
Though.
People get divorced. People hate each other. Marriages go bad. But when you own the Dodgers, it's almost to a certain degree like being president of the United States. You have to put a an air of stability out there.
Yeah,
and if there's information that's going to come out, like, hey, we're getting divorced, or hey, you know, we're not getting along, or hey, we're going to live as separated people, you've got to be smart enough as an owner of a freaking baseball team to manage that information as it's coming out and be a little smarter in how you deal with it and how you get stuff out to the media. These people look like amateurs. They look like they're selfish. They look completely and totally clueless in how to handle their business. And I am the O'Malley, the people that own the Dodgers before, God help them. I hope none of their relatives are still alive to see this, because this is absolutely embarrassing.
But at least the McCourts waited until the Dodgers were in the playoffs to drop the bombshell that they were splitting, so that they could sit two rows apart during all the playoff games and everyone could stare at them.
You know, it had nothing to do with the team's performance, and I believe that. You know, it's business as usual, but what are they going to do in the offseason? It's not going to be the hot stove league. It's going to be like our friend Brian Suit said last night, the hot divorce court league.
Yeah.
All on the offseason. I mean, there's going to be, how are they going to make any moves? How are they going to re-sign people? How are they going to deal with all that?
They're both fighting over the team, right?
Well, Major League Baseball, yeah. And they Major League Baseball is going to have to come in and handle this situation, which is sad. That's like your mom having to handle your divorce when you're 50 years old. You know, I mean, Major League Baseball is going to have to come in and deal with this. They're going to have to probably make them sell the team, which is probably for the best, but just for the Dodgers to be in the middle of what these people are doing is ridiculous, because they're making it about them, and it's not about them. It's about the Dodgers and the city, and when you own the Dodgers, you should have to realize that. You know, Dr. Buss, Jerry Buss, is not known as the most clean living man on the face of the earth. He got a divorce in the 80s, but you know what? He knew how to manage the information and do it quietly.
Right.
And that's the best way to do it. This guy, you're right though, Bean. This guy forced his wife on all of us, and now he's trying to tell us, okay, no, don't listen to her at all. It's like, well, what do you mean? You guys sold yourself as the mommy and poppy of Los Angeles, and now all of a sudden, you know, your kids are having sex with Shannon Doherty. You've been completely turned out by Hollywood, and you're both running around town like idiots. I mean, come on. Jeez.
Last question I have for you on this topic, because I know you're more knowledgeable on the divorce proceedings than we are. How is Jamie going to get by if she's only getting $488,928 per month?
Dude,
how can she live on that?
It's going to be tough. No appetizers at Mr. Chow. You know, you just got to go straight to dinner. You know, no bottle of wine, just two drinks per person, and that's it. 15% tip at Mr. Chow. You know, the guy she's going out with, or allegedly going out with, is the heir to the freaking Pillsbury fortune. Hee-hee! That guy.
Wow, she's a high roller.
So, you know, and she's on the board of trustees at USC. I don't think she's hurting for money there, Jamie
McCourt. That's the other thing that people don't bring up often, is that law is clearly, you know, the community's property and all that kind of stuff is clearly for an uneven situation where maybe a woman doesn't have any money or a guy doesn't have any money or whatever to balance it out. It's not for rich people to beat each other about the head with.
No, and that's what we're going to have to deal with for the entire winter and into the summer and into the spring. And as long as these people are connected with the Dodgers, it's a completely dysfunctional relationship. It's not going to work out, and they're probably going to end up having to sell the team. And it's sad to have our franchise, the Dodgers, going through this. You know, you look at the Angels, and that's really the classy organization in town. I mean, that guy Artie Moreno and Mike Socha, former Dodger, I mean, those guys are actually running the Angels like the Dodgers used to be run.
Used to be. Right.
And that's the unfortunate part about it.
Well, the good news is when your wife wises up and you get a divorce, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. So there'll be no fight like this.
Taking all my bobbleheads. She can't have one of those bobbleheads. Damn it.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
Not even squiddly diddly. It's mine.
Petros Papadakis is here. As if you can't tell, we'll return with more after this on the Kevin and Bean. Petros Papadakis is here with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show today, talking about all things
sports. Seriously, Bean, that's not how I talk.
Petros was just telling us during the song there that he did not have a job where he was required to watch football. He would not watch football.
Or anything, for that matter. I watch
so
Boomerang all day.
Me.
I'd watch all my cartoons and watch Johnny Quest, and I'd be a happy man.
He asked Mike and I why we go to sporting events, and we said,
why? You're not getting paid. Why would you go?
Because we love it.
It costs a bunch of money to sit there all uncomfortably with a bunch of people that think they're relevant. Look at me. Maybe I'll get on the Jumbotron. Look at me. I'm standing next to the sea cow, Khloe Kardashian.
But,
ridiculous.
But you know not everyone.
Sea donkey.
I don't even know where to begin.
She's boiling hot dogs in her neck fat. That's what her job's going to be at the Staples Center. You just pull a dog right out of there and eat it up.
I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
We all were.
Because yeah, I feel bad for her. Because
I don't feel bad for her.
Wait, but wait.
Their whole lives have been about a whoring fame grab, and it started with their father, who was a jock sniffer to O.J. Simpson. The only reason we know the Kardashians is because dad was a jock sniffing accessory to murder, allegedly. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, the mom, that tennis ball-headed woman, Kris Kardashian, realizes from her husband, her late husband, that jock sniffing is the way to go. She marries Bruce Jenner and proceeds to whore out her entire family and destroy the good name of the Kardashian family, who actually were, back in the 70s, because of Robert's brother, good people, because he worked for John McKay.
Why did that listener think Petros is old and cranky?
Sorry. I can't imagine.
All right, what do you guys want to talk about?
Get off my lawn.
Man, get off my lawn!
All right, if you were going to be watching football as a fan this weekend, what would you have to say about Brett Favre's return to Lambeau Field for the first time as an opposing team?
I think the games don't mean as much right now in the NFL as we perceive them to. You know, it is a long season, and teams will turn around. And the thing about the NFL, though, this year is there's not a lot of parity. I mean, there are a lot of really crappy, bad toilet teams in the NFL, and that's not usually the case.
Right, but in this particular case, it's Brett Favre going back. Yeah. It's a whole personal story.
The personal story is what it is. The personal story and the, I don't know, hoopla of him going back there. People there hate him. And they're going to hate him for about...
Do you think they'll boo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they hate his ass.
Really?
Oh, they hate his ass.
I didn't know.
They're only going to hate him for about 10 years, though.
Okay.
And then everybody's going to remember all the great things he did there. I'm annoyed with Brett Favre. There's no question that he's annoying. How he's handled his business almost the last 7 years, you know, his last 5 years in Green Bay, every year saying he's going to retire. And I know, you know, he kind of held a trump card, and he plays every game, and he's a tough guy, and he's a magical player, and he still has that magic, and he's still a pleasure to watch. But the way he's handled his business is not as a football player would in the last 7 or 8 years. It's really been more of a tennis player type of attitude, you know. No, seriously, like an individual sport. And you just don't do that when there's a team that counts on you. I don't care about the organization and the money and the NFL. They can all go straight to hell. But you are accountable to your teammates, you know. And he really kind of left them hanging years and years and years. And then he held, you know, the Vikings over a barrel for the whole summer. He's really annoying the way he handles his business. But there's no denying that he is absolutely, I mean, the only word I can think of is magic. You know, I mean, here's a 40-year-old guy. And I don't think he's going to, I think his arm's being held together by bubble tape. You know, 6 feet of bubble gum for you, not them.
It's going to fall apart at
any
moment.
Yeah, I don't like Minnesota in the Super Bowl. And I don't like Pittsburgh, the teams that just played last weekend. Pittsburgh, who beat them, I don't like them either because they don't have a run game. And I don't like Minnesota because I just cannot depend on this guy's arm for the entire year. But he's magic to watch, and it's going to be a spectacle in Green Bay, and they're going to hate on him, and they're going to love him, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have all eyes on him. And you got to love that guy because he went to Chico State before he went to Cal.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a guy that comes out of Chico. You know what he's about. So I'm rooting for the Packers because I want to see Brett Favre fail, but I don't think he's going to fail. I think this guy's pretty damn special.
It turns out he is pretty good.
What about Giants-Eagles? That's another great game this weekend.
E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles!
Okay.
The Giants aren't very good. I mean, I don't like Eli Manning that much. You know, I think he's
really
great. I think he had that great run. Get Ralph in here to do the Eli, man. Or is that really Eli
talk?
Yeah, no, that's the real Eli Manning we talked to, sure.
I can't even, you know what? I can't even watch the Giants because of Ralph. I just start laughing.
He has spoiled Eli Manning for you.
Because Eli's got that dumbass look
on
his face. He just can't help himself. Yeah. I'm a mouth breather.
You are.
You know, and I heard you guys talking about that thing on my way in today, because it takes 2 hours for me to get
what
here
thing?
To come on the radio. The sleep thing where people get, you know, paralyzed in their sleep.
Right.
I have sleep apnea. It's like the same thing. So I sleep with a giant thing on my head, like a mask. Oh, yeah, every night. Like Darth Vader.
Can you imagine being married
to Petros?
Oh,
no, it's got a huge tube.
Can you imagine?
But it's so I don't snore.
He wears a helmet and he yells all day.
It sounds like this.
He's Darth Vader.
All night, you know, I breathe into a mask, and then you guys can see, like, it's still, like, you can still see it on my face, like, in the morning. It's
Isn't
all red and, like, crusty.
Is there some kind of surgery you could get? Or?
Yeah, but I've had 9 surgeries, and I've had 2 staph infections from those surgeries, one of which was in a bone, you know, so 3 months of antibiotics and hospital. Yeah, you know, actually, my foot turned black, and they popped it, and it was black, deep black. Pus.
No wonder you're so
flying
rude.
Everywhere. Oh yeah, I was in a hospital for a long time. So I'm not really just keen on having somebody cut me up just for the hell of it. You
okay,
know,
let
that's
me ask
why
you this
I wear
though,
the
Pete.
Mask.
Do you wear the mask for the sexy time, or do you put it on immediately after the sexy time
you know,
when you go
I'm
to
not,
sleep?
I hope my wife's still sleeping. I'm not going to lie. There's been a couple times that I've rolled over with the mask on. Like,
all right. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Like a stormtrooper.
That's great.
Just storming Sky City in my mask.
Wow.
I go to Air Care Medical over there on Havenhurst, man, in Van Nuys. They hook me up. They hook up your boy with a big tube. I wash my mask every night.
You are
a prize. Changed my life. You know, usually I would come in here on the radio, no energy in the morning. But now look at me. I'm rearing to go. I'm going to go do the news with Doc right after this.
We have time for one telephone call before we have to say goodbye to the P.
Are we going to do an interview?
This is line five. I think it's Ples, Please, Plus. I don't know what the name is here.
Ples. Yeah, you're right first time.
All right, Ples. All right, what's your question for Petros?
I thought it was going to be Eli Manning.
You're on the air. What's your question?
All right, guy. I had to ask the commissioner of music there what his thoughts on Melfont was.
Oh, okay. I am the. You guys don't know this.
I do know.
You guys are listeners.
Of course,
huh? Listen to the old Petros and Money Show.
Of course.
You know, Matt Money Smith is my partner. He used to work here a long time.
That's right.
And Matt Money Smith actually wrote that song you guys played in the last segment. He's a very talented guy, and he's calling football games, doing a great job this year.
Enough for reproducing.
Yeah, that's Matt
Smith.
All
we have time for.
So I am the international commissioner of music, Petros J. Papadakis, and that's the band that you guys have,
that's
right?
That's correct.
Melfont is our band that plays Fridays during the month of October.
Yeah, I've heard the band, and I was not invited to be in the band.
Right.
I was invited to be in the band, but it was like a real half-ass offer.
I'd like you to be in the band if you wear the mask.
I can do that.
But only if you wear the mask.
I'll bring it in.
That'd be awesome.
I'll bring it in.
He could play the mask.
Do you want me to bring the whole machine with the humidifier?
All of a sudden we're Slipknot, yeah.
Should I bring the humidifier and everything in there?
Yeah,
I won't have a lot of freedom around the stage, though,
right.
Because the hose is kind of short.
We'll mic up the bottom of that thing. It'll just sound. That'll be the instrument.
I'll sound like the guy from Pantera.
Can you sing with the mask on?
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
We have a singer.
But the International Commissioner of Music, Petros J. Papadakis is a full-on seal of approval.
There you go.
There it is. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Now, one of the most avant-garde, envelope-pushing bands of the new millennium. I mean,
so that's
really,
like being USDA approved if we get the seal from the Commissioner of Music.
Yeah, it's like the apostle stamp from the Greek Orthodox Church.
Okay, good.
Bam!
I love it.
It's like St. Paul just put it right there. Bam!
Thank you for the call.
All right, Petros, where are you going to be on TV this weekend? You're not doing a college football game. What are you doing?
I have the week off of games, but next Saturday I will be in Stanford for Stanford, Oregon.
Stanford.
And this Saturday, I love that tree. And this Saturday, I am doing the Clipper pregame show on Fox Sports West. So,
okay, instead of doing the NBA, right?
I don't get that.
Instead of doing the NBA, I'm doing the Clipper pregame show. Hey, that is not cool. I just got that.
How funny is it that your star got his kneecap hurt?
You know, I don't think it's funny that a guy cracked his kneecap. You know, you can think it's funny all you want.
He was the number one pick of the NBA.
Kevin, do not start this. It's making fun of guys' injuries with Petros.
It's a long road.
It's gone bad. It's gone bad in the past.
Kevin's not a sports announcer. He can do it. What he wants. He doesn't have any responsibility. But Kevin, I think that's really mean of you, man. Guy's hurt. He's at home. You know, he's got his leg up. He's probably got six naked hookers on him.
Yeah, he's having a rough time.
I'm just kidding.
How will the Clippers ever lose without him?
You know what? The Clippers with him, the Clippers will be okay.
I agree.
You know, I always have hope. You know, I think making fun of the Clippers is almost too cliche. It's too easy. You know, I like the Clippers. I kind of always have. There's some people that work in that organization that have been really good to me, so I like to work for the Clippers.
They don't deserve you as a fan or anyone else as a fan, I don't think, because of the owner. That's my thing. They don't deserve fans.
But all the owners are that way.
No, but Not as much.
All right, we're out of time.
Hey,
we gotta
at least
go,
he's not divorcing his wife publicly.
That's true, yeah.
Right, loves him.
Thank you. You watch the Jimmy Kimmel? It's my favorite late night show.
He's the
love
best.
The Jimmy Kimmel. Great guy, great show.
He's got Jake Bird on his show, and last night he had Jake at the world premiere of This Is It with Michael Jackson.
Jake is his man on the street, the guy he sends to the hot topics of the day, right?
Right.
The trial that's going on or a celebrity meltdown or something like that. Jake's the guy who goes and interviews people on the street, and he's sometimes inappropriate.
He also interrupts people while they're doing interviews and just steps in and just and he says things that he's the world's biggest Michael Jackson fan, but he says things that they don't want to vouch for at all, and it's super uncomfortable and awesome. So he's at This Is It. They're doing the red carpet, and Jackie Jackson, which apparently is one of the brothers.
Okay.
That's right.
I don't know. Comes walking by, and Jake calls him over to do this interview.
Jackie won. The Jackiest of the Jacksonest of all the Jacksons, because you're Jackie Jackson.
That's right, baby.
Oh, man. Let me ask you one thing. You weren't as successful as your brother, Michael.
Well, kind of hard to argue with that.
That's not a question, first of all.
What's the poor guy say to that?
He says, actually, it was not bad. First he said, repeat that? And then, so then Jake does. And then he actually came back with, well, no one was really as successful as Michael, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know Jackie existed, so he's way down on the list. I mean, I know Reby exists. I don't know Jackie exists.
Yeah, he's just below Tito.
So then he showed a Larry King clip, and this is Larry King live on CNN, and he's talking to Jermaine about This Is It on the red carpet the same night. And this conversation happened on the air.
There are a lot of stories going around, Jermaine, that the brothers, the Jackson brothers, are about to return to the stage in an act. Is that true?
Yes, but there's all kind of exciting things going on. This is called This Is It, but this is really not it. There is going to be much, much more going on, but this is definitely it, but it's not.
Okay, so that happened on Larry King's show.
Okay.
This is it, but it's not, but it's it, but it's not, but it's it, but it's not. And then Jake Bird, this is where he really shines, is other people are doing interviews with a TV station or something. He'll just butt in and start talking.
Okay.
And he says things that you don't want to be a part of, so then they look all uncomfortable. They don't know what to do.
Protect the world, save the children.
This is a little emo kid that's very excited about it.
All the problems in the world that we need to care about while being entertained by the greatest entertainer who ever lived.
It was a wonderful movie. If this isn't the number one movie in the world this weekend, I'm going to have my doctor kill me.
Oh. So he says that.
Oh, my God.
And now, on someone else's show,
yes,
basically.
And now the TV interviewer is like, what do I do? And the little kid pushes him away, and they're all just, like, repulsed instantly. And then after This Is It, he's walking out, and he's very dejected, Jake, the world's biggest Michael Jackson fan. He's very upset. And you hear the music, and you hear
come on, guys, here we go. Here we go. This is it.
Sorry, this is inside the theater.
This is it. When I say P, you say Y-T. P.
Y-T.
P.
Y-T.
Yeah, this is it.
Woo! All right, sorry. So that was in the theater. He was doing that. And then afterwards, he's dejected.
Good luck getting a sequel out of that one.
Well, good point.
Ralph is here with a look at showbiz. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, it is official. Playboy magazine has run out of celebrities to put on their cover.
Uh-oh.
I thought Marge Simpson was the bottom of the barrel. I said, okay, now they're going to animated.
Yeah, that seemed right.
They're good going point. To cartoon women now, so they must be out of regular celebrities.
But not even hot cartoon women.
No. No, it's not, this isn't Wonder Woman or Jessica Rabbit. This is Marge Simpson.
Right.
And I said, okay, they're out. This will be the final sort of publicity-grabbing cover.
Would you say this is it?
Spread that they'll be doing. This is it. I said to myself, this is it. Right. This is it. To Hef, I said, this is it. Turns out I was wrong. Now they have really scraped the bottom of the barrel. In the December issue of Playboy magazine, we will be treated to Chelsea Handler on the cover and in a nude spread inside the magazine.
Really?
That's an obvious hole.
I don't know her.
Chelsea Handler, Kevin, is a not funny woman who has a TV show on E. She has a late night talk slash comedy
but she's
show
hot?
On E. No.
Not
she's
hot.
Not really pretty, but she looks like she has a pretty good body.
Maybe.
Because I saw that I agree with picture that. Of her on the Chaise Lounge where she was mostly undressed. She looked pretty good.
Are you talking about the Playboy pictures?
I don't know. This was a couple months ago?
Yeah, I think it's a leaked picture from her Playboy shoot. And here's the thing. Her Playboy photos have been doctored like Swayze was in the last days. Okay?
Then they'll look fine.
So trust me. This is you're not getting a fair representation of Ms. Chelsea Handler in these photos. Because, yeah, Lisa's right. You look at her body and go, oh, yeah, okay. Whoa, look at her face. They don't have enough airbrushing equipment, I guess, for the entire project. Because she still looks like the girl at the end of the bar at 2 a.m. when you're ready to go and you look down the end of the bar and go, no, I'll just take care of myself tonight. She's that
not
girl.
Even a couple more drinks?
No.
Oh, all right.
No.
They are down to average-looking celebrities because they've run out of the hot ones that are willing to do it. I think you're onto something there, Rob.
Yeah, she. I think even she is embarrassed by this because she debuted the cover on the Jay Leno show last night to ensure that no one would see it.
Don't sound sexy.
So, Chelsea Handler in Playboy. You got that going for you, if you're so inclined. Finally, we get to hear from Haley Glassman. John Gosselin's girlfriend to get the inside story on their relationship.
Wow. She's a prize, too, by the way.
Everyone in the story is a prize.
She's got a two-part interview with The Insider scheduled to air tonight, where she reveals her relationship with John, which just sounds like a little slice of heaven. She says, he'll call me and take his anger out on me. He has mantrums.
Mantrums.
Yeah. I shouldn't have to put up with his emotional abuse. I cry and say, why are you so mean to me? Sometimes he has trouble with the truth. He will dance and dance around his lies. He's like Jekyll and Hyde. But I still love him.
She's still with him?
Yes. Oh.
I don't know who any of those people are.
She deserves whatever hell she's in based on choosing him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
I get called a homewrecker and a fat whore. She's
accurate. Both accurate.
Fantastic. People will stare or point. It gets worse every day.
Wait a minute. If you were called a fat whore, wouldn't you just say whore? I mean, you have to repeat it? They call me a fat whore.
Or they call me bad words,
right,
even. Maybe not. Why? Not give them any more ammo.
Why would you say that?
She recognizes her relationship with John is not normal, in her words, but says, I don't want to leave him all alone. At the end of the day, I love him. But I dislike him at times.
Wow.
Wow. They're perfect for each other.
Wow. Wow.
Good. Let me break it down for you. Nobody cares.
So that's on The Insider tonight if you want to check that out.
Nope.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gabrielle Union celebrates her 36th birthday today. You can currently see her on Flash Forward.
Where the hell is she in Playboy when they're putting Chelsea Handler in the magazine, by the way?
A little less Chelsea Handler, a little more Gabrielle Union.
I sort of have a boner.
Winona Ryder is 38 years old today.
Yeah.
A little more Winona Ryder in Playboy, a little less Chelsea Handler.
I sort of have a boner.
You know what? Just start putting dudes in Playboy rather than Chelsea Handler. Yeah. That's where we're at. I'd rather see good-looking guys.
Nope.
What the hell? Let's all just open up. What do you say?
I'm going to go with no.
Let's just all cross over.
That's you and Mike.
Come on,
going to stand over here
I'm
and watch.
You. All right. Woo.
I'm going no on that one.
Woo. Say hi to bye. Say hi to bye. Randy Jackson of the Jacksons is 48 years old today. Dan Castellaneta of The Simpsons.
Lisa May.
Is 52. And Richard Dreyfuss celebrates his 62nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
On October 6th, the planet blacked out for 2 minutes and 17 seconds. The whole world saw the future.
All right.
Why the planet have to be black, by the way?
All right,
why have to have that racial connotation?
People
why
black out
to
means
black out? Why is that a bad
that
thing?
That is a clip and the premise of the huge ABC smash television show called Flash Forward. It airs Thursday nights. Hey, that's tonight at 8 on ABC. And we're very excited to welcome back to the program a man we haven't talked to in some while. One of the stars of the show, Dominic Monaghan, on the phone with us. Hey, Dominic, how are you, man?
I'm good, man.
Great to have you back on the TV. Great to have you on such a show as Flash Forward, one that we actually have a date where we're going to get some answers. That's so refreshing after all those years of loss.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've kind of learned a couple of the pitfalls that Lost has fallen into and hoping to try and improve on that somewhat.
So for those of you who haven't watched it, it is basically that 2 minutes, 17 seconds everybody loses. There's a couple of people still walking around. They're trying to figure out what happened, why it happened.
All the crows died, by the way, which is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then our friend Dominic says this.
I know what caused the flash forward.
What is it?
That's a little misleading. The quote is taken out of context. When he says that, he's actually chatting up a girl on a train. So he's actually got...
You're lying.
Ulterior.
What? So you don't know?
Here we go again. Don't
here we go
jerk
again.
Us around for another season of television.
Yeah, I think, he's a smart guy. He's a quantum physicist. So he has his ideas, but I don't think necessarily he has it all dialed in.
First it's Charlie, now it's Simon. This is the way it goes, man.
Will you be aiding in the Mosaic investigation?
At some point along the journey, I think the FBI get interested in having someone with a science-based background come on board to the FBI, and the prime target for that would be Simon, because he's one of the smartest kind of science minds.
Ralph, explain to people who haven't seen it yet what the Mosaic is, because that's fascinating.
Yeah, Joseph Fiennes plays an FBI agent who, in his flash forward, recognizes he is taking the lead in the investigation of trying to piece together the mystery about why everyone
blacked out at this particular time and why they saw the future. So he puts together
the FBI.
He puts together this bulletin board of clues that he has envisioned in the future, and it becomes what is known as the Mosaic Project, which is the investigation of everyone's visions and what they saw in the future. And so he's the, kind of the lead investigator in this whole mystery.
And let me tell you what I like about this program, Dominic, and frankly, I know you don't care what I like about it, but there's not only the big worldwide question of what happened and the how everybody is terrified. Governments down to common citizens are terrified that it could be some sort of alien invasion or
hold
could be
thought.
Happening.
Hold that thought.
I know what caused the flash forward.
What caused it?
he doesn't know.
He doesn't know. There's not only that big story about the worldwide repercussions of this this horrific event that killed thousands and thousands of people, planes in the air coming down and stuff like that, but there's also how it screws with almost every person on Earth in terms of now knowing what at least a portion of their future is going to be and wondering if it's true, wondering how they're going to get there. Some of the people hoping that it doesn't come true because bad things happen. Other people who just can't wait for that day to get here. I mean, it really turns everybody in the world upside down, and that's such a fascinating thing that I don't think I've ever seen in a television program before.
That's a very smart concept, and also, I like the fact that it's, it's kind of a procedural drama, it's a cop show, mm-hmm. it's a hospital drama, it's a murder mystery, it's a comedy, it just has all elements,
Some people didn't see anything, so they go, am I dead? It's really fascinating.
What did Simon see? Can you tell us, Dom?
You'll see it tonight.
Oh,
so
good.
You'll see like 10 seconds of what he saw tonight.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
And what's it going to be?
I don't
can't tell
it.
You.
I'm just asking.
Kevin, what
I'm
are you
just
gonna
asking?
Learn?
What?
Dominic only does projects that he can't talk about.
You don't want to know?
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
it makes probably it's fun for you to work, but it makes it very difficult to do interviews, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that's the nature of the job that I do. I mean, you don't tend to tell people what you're doing because you want them to experience it in real time, so you get used to it, but it can be frustrating for sure.
Sure. We had your colleague John Cho on a couple of weeks ago, who's excellent on the Flash Forward show, and he said it was just, one of those projects. He wasn't planning on it, but he read the script and he said he was just hooked from page one, and I guess that was the reaction of a lot of the actors in the script. It was just something so smart and so fun.
Yeah, I read the first episode and just thought, these are people that I want to meet. The writing was so sharp and so new and refreshing and clever, and I got to meet the creators and was kind of signed in from that point on.
After doing so many seasons on Lost, though, Dominic, did you hesitate at all about signing on to another series, another long-term situation?
Didn't really think about it too much. No. I'm kind of probably processing all that a little bit more now, and it's okay. I mean, it's part of the job that you do, and I think you have to be happy with the fact that you're working in this current climate.
That's true.
Yeah. But you shoot in Los Angeles now instead of Hawaii, so that's a little bit of a downgrade, right?
I guess, yeah. I mean, it means I can work from home, which is a refreshing change. Yeah.
Sure. That's true. There's an upside. All right, so we see Simon's flash forward tonight. We see what he saw tonight at 8 on ABC. Anything else about tonight's episode you want to let people know?
No, not really. He's just a really interesting character. He's a fun character. He's kind of a game changer, so it's worth tuning in for.
Great.
Well, we love it. I think it's our favorite new show that all of us agree on is really strong this year. So.
Oh, that's good.
We're excited about it. Flash Forward tonight and Thursdays at 8 on ABC. Dominic Monaghan, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye now. And Ralph, you got some tickets to give away, huh?
I do. I've got tickets to give away to the world premiere of 2012, starring John Cusack, Amanda Peet, Woody Harrelson. It's the end of the world, people. The red carpet world premiere. 5 lucky callers, 1-800-520-1067, will get a pair of tickets to go to the world premiere of 2012.
It's world-famous K-Rock at 9:36.
Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday. By the way, quick reminder, Melfon tomorrow morning, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Melfon. It's been a while since Ralph's been behind the sticks, too. The last couple of weeks, you were on location last week, and then on vacation the week before that, so we haven't had the steady hand of Ralph Garman on the drums, but I'm looking forward to it.
It was like when the Beatles toured in '66 in Australia, and they had to use Jimmy Nichols instead of Ringo.
Yeah, it was just like that.
Right. Just like that.
I don't remember that at all. But
sure. Okay. Yeah. Jimmy was behind the skins for the Beatles in Australia.
Okay.
How ripped off do those Australians feel, by the way? Go to the Beatles concert in 1966, and Jimmy Nichols is back there. Where's effing Ringo? Crikey. That's what they said.
Well, you're our Ringo. I want you to know that.
Scrubs is coming back. ABC has announced it will debut on December the 1st. Scrubs.
This is the new Scrubs, though, without...
Scrubs Light.
Without Zach Braff?
Yeah, Zach Braff will be gone. Looks like John McGinley and Donald Faison are the basically the two leads in the show, which is shifting from a hospital setting to a medical school setting, with John and Donald teaching new medical students.
Ah, okay. I see.
Could be, look, it's going to be funnier than most things on television. I can tell you that right now.
You're right.
I agree. Just based on that track record. More TV news. Looks like Desperate Housewives will have several more seasons. If ABC has anything to say about it, they just re-signed show creator Mark Cherry to a two-year extension that keeps the series on the air through 2013.
Wow. Remember how hot that show was a few years ago? But I don't hear much about it anymore.
No,
well, it kind of had a resurgence this year, I think.
It is a steady show that will always deliver a certain number for ABC, and I think they appreciate that in these confusing, questionable times. Look, even the hottest shows cool off.
Yeah. Sure,
because people get used to them and they start taking them for granted, you know? And then eventually they will dissipate. But apparently ABC thinks it's got enough legs, it'll hold on at least for a couple years, so they've renewed the deal. Interesting poll.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
On AOL this week, asking 9 to 15-year-old kids who they believe are the best and worst celebrity influences on them. These are the kids themselves.
9 to 15.
All right. What celebrity do you think is a bad influence on you based upon their behavior? What celebrity thinks a good influence on you? Interesting question for kids.
Sure.
Here's what they came up with. Best celebrity influence, with 30% of the vote, was Selena Gomez.
Okay.
I think she's the only of the teen queens who hasn't taken a photo of herself with her camera phone in her panties and bra. That's why. God damn it. Get on Selena.
Stays clean.
Yes, she does, as far as we know. How can we know until we see her in a picture of her with her panties and bra?
That's a good point.
You know? Maybe she'll be like Vanessa Hudgens and need the Norelco.
Well, I don't think that's what I'm saying.
That Lady Garden was full.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Second on the list was Taylor Swift.
Well, until this week.
She's got her own Taylor. They're just like Ken and Barbie, those two, the Taylors.
Yeah.
Nick Jonas.
Oh!
Emma Watson and Justin Bieber run up top five.
Justin Bieber.
I'm not familiar with Mr. Bieber.
Justin Bieber was the young gentleman Kevin and I were watching on the Today Show about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's
and everybody in the New York City was going nuts, and we were like, who is this kid? Isn't that the right? He was a YouTube dancer that Usher discovered.
Exactly right.
Oh, okay.
And now he's a big star.
Apparently he's a good influence. Worst influences. I'll give you least to most, okay?
Okay.
Shia LaBeouf got 3% of the vote. Oh, they're coming down to Shia.
Wow.
I guess the DUI, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Messed up his hand, but still. You can learn from mistakes, can't we?
Sure.
Vanessa Hudgens on the list is fourth on the list. Third is Kanye West.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, that makes sense.
Bad influence, that Kanye West. Second worst influence, Britney Spears. Who do they think is a worse influence on them than Britney Spears?
That's pretty strong.
Any guesses who the worst celebrity influence is, according to kids 9 to 15?
Barack Obama.
Barack Obama, that's right. That no birth certificate having mother ever.
Paris Hilton?
No.
Oh, wow.
Lindsay Lohan?
Lindsay Lohan.
No. I don't think she even registers on their radar anymore, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. She hasn't done anything to be famous for so long.
Point. Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, exactly, Mike. Miley Cyrus. Got 42%, almost half of the vote. The kids 9 to 15 think she's a bad influence.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that because their parents are using Miley as a teaching moment to say things to their kids like, see, you don't want to dance on a pole at the Nickelodeon Awards.
Saying, do not date a guy 5 years older than you. Do not mock Asians by making slanty eyes in a picture. And do not pole dance. That's what they're saying to their kids.
And rap about stopping tweeting is also bad.
That's right. Has she stopped? Is she tweetless now?
You were on vacation the week she quit the Twitter and wrote and recorded a rap about it. I can play a little bit for you if you want.
More than anything.
Because I don't think you've heard this yet. It's pretty classic.
Yeah, the rumors are true. I deleted my Twitter. Can you believe it? I got two million. Then I said adios. I had to say goodbye. And this little rap is to tell my fans why.
Now, there's a Miley Cyrus fan who has a YouTube video up that's very popular where she's threatening to eat her cat if Miley doesn't start tweeting again by some date in November. So apparently the pressure's on now for Miley to come back and start tweeting again.
Hey, Gene Simmons just showed up. Hey, Gene Simmons, what's going on?
You talked about eating cats.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
we don't need to. I think we can make that,
leap ourselves without your
help, Gene. Thank you,
Gene. Thank you for all your help. And you did mention Lindsay Lohan. Lisa, and it turns out Lindsay's got a new tattoo that she's sporting.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she's trying to send us a message. Somehow we're all holding her back.
collectively.
It's our fault?
It's our fault.
Well, how is it our fault?
A new tattoo with some little stars around a saying, a slogan, a little message that she's written in script on her skin that says, "Stars, all we ask for is our right to twinkle."
I just can't shake the feeling that that woman is a complete tool.
So somehow we are keeping her from twinkling.
Really?
But hasn't she had every opportunity in the world to twinkle, and she has basically wasted them all?
No, somehow we have affected her twinklage.
That's bullshit.
It's right there in the Constitution.
You have your head up your ass.
Bill of Rights, free speech, bare arms, twinkle. I think it's the third one.
I don't remember that one.
Third one down.
What is wrong with this woman?
And do you believe Rosie O'Donnell when she says Angelina Jolie hit on her?
I don't.
Interview this week, she says Angelina Jolie slipped her phone number back in the day. Rosie says they, in fact, talked on the phone a few times discussing where they would go on a date, but it never came to pass, apparently.
Why can't people marry dogs?
Apparently, Angelina pulled the needle out of her arm and realized she was talking to Rosie O'Donnell and hung up and never talked to her again.
She's crazy enough, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, you can never know what she's going to do. But come on, she's Rosie.
Angelina's not that crazy.
Come on.
Well, but not
and
all.
If you're if you want to be a lesbian, if you want to experiment with your lesbiosity, you don't need Rosie O'Donnell's help.
No, you'd go for a woman.
Right. Portia de Rossi's help. That's right. Who's helping.
Exactly.
That's who's helping.
Exactly.
Not all of the women in Angelina's past that she's experienced, you know, romantically she's been involved with have been attractive. There's been some pigs.
Rosie O'Donnell?
Not pigs. Rosie O'Donnell bad, though.
All right. Good point.
Yeah. She's exceptional, even in that category.
Yeah. Do we have time just for me to hear Miss Cleo doing clock
no
again?
Problem.
Can I just hear that? I don't know if you missed it yesterday. We were playing a game, and Miss Cleo was trying to get someone to say the title of the Foo Fighters song, Times Like These. And these were the clues she was given to try to get that person to say the title of that song.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and... Similar to clock.
It's fun to watch this kind of meltdown from the outside.
See,
for once.
Kevin, now you know how much we enjoy your work.
It's quite enjoyable.
Those and similar to clock.
We could end the show on a dancing note.
A clock with a clock, and it's those and similar to clock.
It's like a madman is speaking in her ear that only she can hear, and she's repeating what he's saying.
Miss Cleo was on Mad Men?
Oh, Gilligan. Wow. We'll never get off this island.
Let's end this show on a dancing note with the European remix. Because
you
want to hear
the dance mix?
Miss Cleo is very popular all over Europe right now with this.
A clock, clock, with a clock, and it's those and, with a clock, and it's and, clock, similar to, clock, clock, with a clock.
There's models all over Paris right now who are just dancing to that.
I see Flava Flav doing a remix with his
clock,
too.
Clock! See, because Flava Flav wears a big clock.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gabrielle Union celebrates her 36th birthday. She is lovely. Lovely and delicious. Winona Ryder celebrates her 38th birthday today. She's going to go out and shoplift a cake to celebrate.
Is that right?
Yeah. Randy Jackson of the Jacksons is 48 years old today. Stop doing that. Dan Castellaneta is 52 years old today. If you want to make it,
yes, oh God, yes.
If you want to make it in this business, Dan, you're going to have to change that last name. I'm sorry, you'll never get a job on television. Yeah. And Richard Dreyfuss celebrates his 62nd birthday today. This was no boating accident.
That's your Dreyfuss.
That's my Dreyfuss.
You didn't get much call for that one, do you?
Not very often, but on his birthday, I get to break out. Martin, I don't need it. It was working class BS. Martin. That's pretty much the old impression. I just say Martin over and over again.
I like it.
We're off Garmin. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do we have time to say hi to Dewan just for a second?
Yes. You're the keeper of the clock.
For a second?
Clock.
Keeper of the what, Ralph?
Clock. A clock. With a clock.
With a clock.
I'm just dumbfounded by clock with a clock.
Clock with a clock.
Hey, Dewan.
Whole clock family.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Dewan.
What's going on, man?
How's it going?
Good.
What's up, Dewan?
I finally make the 90210 pie since yesterday afternoon before I went to Universal Studios Hollywood.
You made a 90210 pie?
Yes.
What's in a 90210 pie?
Because I made that up since this past weekend, and I had that in my mind.
Right.
What are the ingredients in the 90210 pie?
First, you use chocolate pudding, banana cream pudding. You add like 3 milks. You mix it. Keep mixing it about 2 minutes.
Okay.
And then when it's soft, and you pour the banana pudding in the chocolate pudding, mix it all together. After that, pour it to the pie, the crust.
That sounds pretty good.
Crunch.
Sounds
and
good.
And you close it and keep it in the refrigerator about an hour, or just leave it there for about like 1 day or 2 days.
All right.
Wow.
And now, that's for my Halloween party tomorrow at my job.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's what it's for.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Now, did you make the cake or the pie yourself, or did you have somebody help you with it?
I made it by myself. It's a pie only, not cakes.
It's pie.
No,
of course.
No pie but only. Yeah, sure.
I didn't understand. What makes it a 90210 pie? That's the part I didn't get.
Because I just make that in my mind since this past Sunday.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So you just think about it that way. Okay.
And I got to meet the 90210 stars.
Right. Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
And then you can make that pie for them.
Is it a 90210 pie? Because you just lick it. You don't really bite into it.
You can lick it, but you can like eat the crust. But I haven't eaten the pies yet. I did not touch them.
I see.
That's a 90210 pie then.
All right.
I have to go to the market and buy some whipped cream.
Okay.
Juan's got a party going on with whipped cream.
That sounds good.
Okay, Dewan. Well, congratulations on your pie. It sounds awesome, dude.
And today is S.A. Martinez of 311's birthday today.
Okay. Oh, we forgot about S.A. Martinez. I apologize, Dewan. He is 40 years old today. You're right. So happy birthday to S.A. Martinez.
Nicely done. Cool. All right, Dewan, you're the best.
But hey, are you going to dress up for Halloween this year, Dewan?
I don't think so.
No costume?
No, just watching horror movies all day.
All right, then.
I like horror movies, too.
No, horror.
Horror. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. All right. That sounds like fun, Dewan. Well, you have a great time if we don't talk to you. Okay, buddy?
All right.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, Dewan.
Bye. Bye-bye. It's a 90210 pie.
It sure is.
I'm still confused. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. We've got the Movie Beat. We have Adam Carolla in studio this week in Rage. We have the executive producer of This Is It, Randy Phillips from AEG Live.
This Is It.
We have the King of Mexico has a new song for us to hear about his beloved Clippers.
Really?
Oh. Tomorrow. And I think tomorrow is the day that Mike is trying to push hot Cheetos on school children, right? That's correct.
We've got a little
video
side
from
business.
That tomorrow.
A little side business going.
That's all tomorrow morning.
I enjoy doing it. The streets demand it.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. All right, one more time before we go. If you have Halloween plans like our friend Dewan, you might want to check out the Costume Shop, 746 West Durand Street, just off the 134 freeway in Glendale. Call 818-244-1161. We've been using them for years. They have over 40,000 costumes from Renaissance to Star Wars, and they are fantastic. You'll love them.
Do you think they have a costume where I can go dressed up as a big clock?
A clock? Clock? With a clock, and it's those, and with a clock, and it's, and, clock? Similar to, clock? Clock? With a clock?
I don't see why not. Sure.
You have to go as a clock with a clock, though.
Yeah, but you get a little clock, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I've heard you have a little clock. All right, Cat Clement is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including that new song from them Crooked Vultures that we told you about yesterday called New Fang. Stick around for that. Also, some Sublime, Rise Against, Drama-Rama, Linkin Park, Kings of Leon, and more after this on K-Rock.